Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is Healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Pratty Insurance Agency, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies, building a bond between you and your pet. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
At least we got each other. He's over there by himself drinking full throttle.
Back at Flynn Stadium in Quincy, Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you as the Silver Streaks prepare to do battle with the Quincy Blue Devils. Set the starting lineups for you tonight for the Blue Devils. Offensively, they'll go with senior quarterback Jordan Zanger at 5'10", only 150, so a little guy at the quarterback spot and a pretty good threat. A three-headed threat out of the backfield between fullback Mike Davis, a senior at 6'1", 180, the wingback Jordan McGriff at 5'10", 165, and a sophomore at the halfback spot, Malik Robbins, 5'11", 165 pounds. If you were with us for the coach's interview portion of the pregame, you heard Coach Tim Doherty say that he feels Quincy's three-headed running back system is even more of a threat than Rock Island's, and after watching them run up for what, over 400 yards against the Silver Streaks.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
No kidding.
Oh, we chased the backside of those kids from Rock Island last week.
Brandon Richardson was only a sophomore, yeah, scoring five touchdowns.
Yep. Well, and you know, our sophomore team here got along pretty well in the first half. We got here, it was 20-14. Second half was all Quincy as they won that thing going away. And again, they've got some sophomores playing up here at the varsity level, too.
Set the rest of the Quincy offensive lineup for you. At the tight end spot, Jared Zanger, Jordan's twin brother, also 5'10", 150, a senior. And Blaze Rose, the other tight end, at 5'11", 180, also a senior. Across the offensive line for the Blue Devils, Wes Irvin, 6'5", 230, a senior at left tackle. The left guard, Clay Finkley, at 6', 220, a junior. The center, Jacob Paul, 6'2", 240, a junior. Right guard, Ian Jones, 5'11", 210 pounds, also a junior. And the other senior on the offensive line, the right tackle, Briar Huckman at 6'2", 240. For the Silver Streaks offensively, Will Anderson starts his seventh straight game at quarterback for the Silver Streaks, a junior at 6'1", 180. Trevon Diggins, a tailback, 5'8", 165, a junior. And John Mixon, the fullback, also a junior at 5'10", 190. The wideouts, two seniors, Derek Armstrong and Jake Ennis. Armstrong at 6', 170, Ennis at 5'10", 165. And the tight end, Colton Woolsey, a junior, 6'3", 180. Offensive line for the Silver Streaks, left tackle Zane Crowell, 6', 235, a junior. Taylor Saul gets the start at left guard tonight. His first start, he's a senior, 6'4", 195. Center Manny Valdez, 6', 210, a junior. And two other juniors on the right side of the offensive line, Derek Brackett, 6'1", 240. Dylan Hoven at right tackle, 6'3", 210. Derek Brackett back in the starting lineup after battling tendonitis in his knees earlier in the year. He was in the starting lineup early on in the season. But then when the tendonitis came along, he had to sit a number of games. He's back in the starting lineup, but it's at the expense, unfortunately, of Tyler Brackett, no relation, who is out with internal bleeding in one of his feet. He said one of the players in the Rock Island game rolled over on a play and caused his ankle to roll a little bit, so he's been wearing a boot most of the week and trying to get the internal bleeding on his foot stopped, so that's been unfortunate for the Silver Streaks. I'll tell you one thing about this, and we mentioned it with Coach Tim Doherty in the pregame show, was how the injuries have been such a challenge for this team. He didn't start off with a whole lot of numbers on this roster to begin with. He's had to pull up some sophomores. He's had to even pull up a freshman in Peyton Isaacson on the varsity level, and of course that's pretty good stock right there if you're going to have a freshman.
I was going to say, Peyton's used to playing against kids a lot older than him. He played the whole Legion season against some college kids,
But it's been a real testament to what Coach Tim Doherty has had to do with a variety of challenges that his team has faced this year. And, you know, here's Taylor Saul in the starting lineup as a senior, getting the start at left guard tonight. So, you know, lots of different guys have had to step up, and team unity-wise, that's been an encouragement for the Silver Streaks.
Quick check of baseball. The Cardinals lead the Phillies 1-0 in the first inning, as they did in the first game, getting a little little bit of work on DeRoy Halladay in that first inning. You might recall Lance Berkman, I think, hit a three-run homer off Halladay. Then they didn't do anything the rest of the way that night.
Well, not until Halladay left in the ninth inning. Then they put up a modest rally.
Rafael Furcal tripled to right center to lead off the game for the Cardinals tonight. Then Skip Schumacher doubled right, scoring Furcal. Albert Pujols grounded into a fielder's choice, and he went to second on a wild pitch, and so that's where they're at right now. Cardinals up 1-0, still batting in the top of the first with one on and one out.
Meanwhile, we've got the coin toss on the field here. Two Galesburg captains, four Quincy captains out in the midcourt in the midfield queue. The referee tossed the coin into the air, and I just did it again. As we mentioned, sophomores lost tonight by a final of 35-20. They're 2-5 on the season. Galesburg varsity 1-5, Quincy 3-3. Silver Streak still looking for their first win in the Western Big Six Conference. Quincy got their first win just last week here at home against United Township in a rout 35-6 over the Panthers. Looks like Quincy wins the toss and elects to receive the ball.
That doesn't happen much anymore. A lot of times you see teams win the toss and defer. And so they'll go ahead and take the ball. And the wind, I don't think much of a factor tonight. There's a nice breeze, but nothing that I don't think you'd really even call it windy. So
no, it's certainly windy earlier in the game, but we heard all indications were by football time that the winds would die down.
It's just a perfect night out here again. This has been such a great week of weather and capped off by this one here tonight.
Who would have thought? October 7th, we'd be talking about 80-degree weather.
Yeah, we brought coats, but I don't think we'll ever put them on.
No way. In fact, lots of shirt sleeves out here tonight. A lot of people even in shorts, mostly men. Don't see too many women out there, but in shorts. But a lot of the guys wearing shorts here tonight. So just a fabulous night. And as we talked about here at Flynn Stadium, where we are, great perch. The press box provides a nice view for those folks here on the home side of the field, nice and high, and good look down on the field. And that field turf, you know, Jim, we've seen field turf, and this is about as good as field turf as we've seen. This is a really nice-looking field they have down here in their first year of having it here at Flynn Stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked, I think, when we were at Augustana College playing Ollivan there a few weeks ago about how field turf's come a long ways. Their field turf looks like it's badly in need of repair, very faded, and they'll have to probably address that as soon as they can get their money together and get it done. But, this is that deep dark green, very plush. And, that's now half of the conference is playing on field turf. Rock Island got theirs a couple of years ago. Ollivan has been playing on it at Augustana for a number of years. And now Quincy has it here. Probably be a little while before we see it. No rumors that I've heard that the Soul Bowl or Browning Field of Moline were edging that way. Maybe that'll come to pass, but right now I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, and certainly it favors speed teams like Rock Island. And then Quincy, the way things are shaping up with the football team this year, provides an advantage for them as well. And everything we understand, it's been a great advantage for the soccer team down here too.
Yeah. They said they use a lot of speed in their soccer as well, and it really has played out well for them. And there were times where we had come down here and their field was chewed up pretty well because they used it so heavily. So it's in the long run, it pays for itself, but it's a great investment if you can afford to front the money up front.
Take a break here. We'll wrap up the OSF St. Mary Medical Center pregame show. The Silver Streaks on the road for their final road game of the Western Big Six Conference season. Back home against the Moline Maroons next Friday night for senior night to wrap up the conference. And then the final road game of the season in 2 weeks at Peoria Richwoods. But the final time on the road here in the conference at Quincy, we'll have the kickoff coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac automatic standby generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Your news talk and sports station, Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from Quincy, where the Silver Streaks prepared to do battle with the Quincy Blue Devils. We are still about 8 minutes away from kickoff. Keep you updated on the Cardinals game. Still 1-0 Redbirds, with St. Louis still batting in the top of the first inning at Philadelphia. battling against Phillies ace, former Cy Young Award winner Roy Halladay. Two on, one out, and now
two outs.
Yep. Now Yadier Molina at the plate. Cardinals still with two runners on, leading early on 1-0 over the Philadelphia Phillies. Setting the conference, the way things stand right now, the Moline Maroons at 3-0 on top in the Western Big Six Conference. They started off losing two of their first three non-conference games, got a win in their opener of the season, then lost the next two, but it's been all Maroons the last 3 weeks once conference play got started, including a big win over the Alleman Pioneers last week. Alleman and United Township tied for second at 2-1. The Pioneers, their only loss of the season last week against the Maroons, are 5-1 overall. East Moline lost their first three non-conference games and then opened up with two straight wins, beating the Silver Streaks and then upsetting Rock Island in the second game of the Western Big Six Conference season. So they still have an outside shot at the playoffs. Certainly the Panthers would have to win out to finish at 5-4 and then hope that they've got enough playoff points to get in. UT at Moline tonight, so that's as tough a task as the Panthers will face the rest of the way out. Then Rock Island and Quincy both were 0-2 heading into conference play last week, but the Blue Devils got what turned out to be a fairly easy win over the Panthers right down here at Flynn Stadium. Rock Island Rocks ran over the Silver Streaks at Van Dyke Field last week, so they are both 1-2. The Blue Devils and Rock Island will face off against each other next Friday night, and the Silver Streaks at the bottom of the conference at 0-3. But Jim, you addressed it in the pregame show with Coach Rick Little. It's been completely against type in the Western Big Six is how the offense has done so well in the conference this year. It still amazes me to look at the scores throughout the year and see the points that these teams are putting up. It's so common to see 7-3, 7-6, 10-7 types of scores throughout the Western Big Six. It hasn't been the case at all here throughout the season. It's made for some exciting football.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, that may calm down a little bit as we get into the last couple of weeks of the season, because you figure whoever Alleman's playing is probably not going to score a whole lot, although they gave up 24 last week, and they've got that speed of Rock Island to deal with tonight. I think you're probably going to see a lot of points in this one tonight in that Moline-East Moline game. You know, whichever UT team shows up, that could be a wild one.
Yeah, well, the Panthers certainly have had some problems early on in the year in terms of hanging on to the ball. They've made mistakes. They've shot themselves in the foot. That's how we understand they got off to an 0-3 start. Wasn't the case against us in that first game of the conference
season.
Or the next week against Rock Island, but it sounds like it came back to bite them last week in their loss down here to Quincy. So Yadier Molina has grounded out to end the first inning for the Cardinals, so St. Louis takes an early 1-0 lead over the Phillies in a chance to get to the National League Championship Series.
You've got your Cardinal cap on. You brought your Cardinal coat. We've seen some red down here amidst all the blue for Quincy, and probably a lot of folks monitoring that, trying to follow their favorite football team here with Quincy, but also wanting to, because down here you get a few Cub fans, but you're getting far enough south where it starts to get pretty Cardinal heavy.
Yeah, nobody commented on my Galesburg football shirt at dinner, but they commented on my Cardinal hat, I know.
Yep.
So, again, we'll keep you updated on that one throughout the evening here on WGIL. We'll take one final break here. When we come back, it's the kickoff between the Silver Streaks and the Quincy Blue Devils. Game four of the Western Big Six Conference season. The Blue Devils at 1-2, the Silver Streaks at 0-3, but Quincy 3-3 overall, and the Silver Streaks coming in as the underdogs, 1-5. From Flynn Stadium, the kickoff is next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's a great time to update your home now during Menards' Great Door Event. You'll find amazing low prices on a huge selection of doors from top brands, including Ideal. Ideal provides the finest residential and commercial garage doors available. For maximum durability and energy savings, choose insulated steel 5-star garage doors. A 9x7-foot model is just $349. Plus, all special order Ideal garage doors are also on sale.
Save big money at Menards.
A wit that cuts through the news of the day like none other. The Dennis Miller Show, weeknights at 6 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Field turf at Flynn Stadium sets the scene for the Silver Streaks and the Quincy Blue Devils as we get ready to kick off the action between the Silver Streaks and the Quincy Blue Devils here tonight. I'm Brad Benowitz along with Jim Lee. Thanks for being with us here for Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com. Nicole Olin, our broadcast engineer, for Galesburg High School football. Silver Streak still looking for their first conference win of the season, trying to snap a five-game losing streak in this season. But they did defeat the Quincy Blue Devils last week, 26-23. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, if the Cardinals win, they'll be facing the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League Championship Series. Just saw a note that the Brewers played at a run in the bottom of the 10th inning to beat Arizona 3-2.
Rats.
Doggone it. kind of for those upstart Diamondbacks. But the road to the World Series will have to go through Milwaukee now, as the Brewers, with the best home record in baseball, able to eke out a victory there in 10 innings on their home turf tonight.
Well, and if it does end up being the Cardinals and the Brewers, there won't be any emotion in that series, will there?
Yeah, they've taken turns sweeping each other, I think, at one point this season. But right now the job is just to get there. Cardinals have a long 8.5 innings yet to go, just a 1-0 lead on Philadelphia in that first inning.
Lots of talking when those two teams get together. Good luck to Clint Olin of Galesburg. He's the name drawn in the first quarter of our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. If you're interested in getting involved in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, get a chance to win a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg, and your name also would be entered in the final drawing for a party sub from Hungry Hobo at the end of the football season. So if the Silver Streaks score a touchdown in this first quarter, Clint Olin of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo. And our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. Jim and I traveling in style as always, a 2010 Nissan Maxima and certified pre-owned. They have about 10 of these, Jeff Plank tells us, on the lot of the Nissan Maximas. 1.9% financing at 48 months, 2.59% financing at 60 months. And there's 15 of them actually in stock. And, boy, you can just get all kinds of deals. And I let Jim have the fun driving down here tonight in the Nissan Maxima.
It's mostly four-lane coming here, but there are a couple of stretches of two-lane, and we utilize the very strong engine to get out and pass a few times on Route 9 as we carve our way. We like to go down, obviously, on 67, but then turn just south of Good Hope on Route 9 and just short of Blandinsville, take the blacktop up to Tennessee and jump back on the four lane. We found that to be the quickest way. But, you know, you talk to folks from Galesburg, and over the years, you can find a myriad of different paths that people have taken to get down here.
And none of them were good at the time.
No, not when there wasn't any four lane. It was going to take you well over 2 hours, no matter how the, probably 2.5 anyway, no matter how you decided to do it.
So we mentioned the Quincy Blue Devils will receive the opening kickoff. So let's set the Galesburg defense for you. That four-man defensive front, the defensive ends, Dylan Hoven. In fact, it's all juniors across the defensive end, and 9 of the 11 starters defensively for the Silver Streaks are juniors. Again, across the line, Dylan Hoven and Derek Brackett back in the starting lineup at the end spots. Hoven at 6'3", 210, Brackett at 6'4", 240. And the tackle, Zane Crowell, 6'2", 235. Jake Ryden, 6'1", 250. As some fireworks going off behind the Galesburg stands on the far side of the field. Nice, deep Quincy blue.
Yep, I noticed that. Don't often see blue fireworks.
No.
Those were, as you would expect here.
The outside linebackers for the Silver Streaks, John Mixon, 5'10", 190, and Michael Varner at 5'9", 170, both juniors. The inside linebackers, O'Brien Allen, 5'10", 190, and the only senior in the linebacking corps is Drew Carlson at 5'10", 200. In the defensive secondary for the Silver Streaks, the free safety, Trevon Diggins at 5'8", 165, a junior, and the cornerbacks, Matt Kitch back in the starting lineup at 5'9", 175, and Dakota Smith, the only other senior in the defensive, on the defensive side of the ball for the Silver Streaks at the other cornerback spot, 5'10", 160. Drew Carlson will kick off, will handle all of the kicking duties tonight with Tyler Brackett out with the foot injury and the ball teed up at the 40-yard line. Carlson will be kicking into something of a side wind, maybe with the wind a little bit at his back as we watch the flag trying to figure out exactly which direction it's going. Silver Streak sophomores lost tonight by a final of 35-20, and the varsity game is underway with a low line drive kick right down the middle of the field, taken by the Quincy Blue Devils at the 10-yard line. Cutting straight up the middle of the field goes Blaze Rose, tries to cut to the outside of the 25 to the 32-yard line. where he's taken down. And the Quincy Blue Devils start there. We are underway in the varsity action. Game four of the Western Big Six Conference season.
Andrew Barnes and Adam Corson together on the tackle for the Silver Streaks, a sophomore and a senior doing the job to take him down. And like you said, Brad, we might be mentioning a few more sophomore names as to fill in some roster spots here due to some injuries. A few of those sophomores have been called up. Quincy with a number of sophomores as well, not because of any injuries, but just because of their level of play. This Quincy roster, they've got a lot of kids on that sideline.
Jordan Zanger at the quarterback spot, as we mentioned earlier, only 150 pounds, and 5'10", but he is a senior. Hands off to the wingback, Jordan McGriff, trying to get to the outside, and a nice job by Trevon Diggins to chase him down at the 30-yard line, take him down for a loss of two. Streaked out McGriff running side to side instead of straight up field, and the Streaks are able to pin a loss on the Blue Devils on their first carry of the game.
Yeah, if the Devils think they're going to be able to run wide like that, they're going to have trouble because Diggins is so fast and such a good tackler. He'll cover a lot of field, and you can get around the end on Gelsberg, but you need to make it happen quicker than that. The Streaks did a nice job of stringing that play out, pushing it farther to the sideline, and just cut it off.
They go with two wideouts and one in the slot to the top of the field, the left side. Handoff goes straight up the middle to the fullback, Mike Davis. Gets a little bit of running room up to the 34-yard line for a gain of three. And it'll bring up third and eight just like that on first down. So a good start defensively for the Silver Streaks. Let's see if they can keep it going on third and eight here. We're just underway in the first quarter. Thanks for being with us here on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from Quincy. Silver Streaks' final road game of the Western Big Six Conference season.
Well, you look out there in that Quincy huddle, and the quarterback really just disappears. He's 5'10 and 150. Went to call the play in the middle of some of those big linemen. So Zanger, not a big guy at quarterback, but got good speed, and he runs the offense well.
Back to the full house backfield for the Quincy Blue Devils, and jumping on both sides of the ball. You got one running back, that's Davis, who moved forward. You've got one Silver Streak on the defensive line who stepped into the neutral zone. Let's see if we're going to give illegal procedure against the Quincy Blue Devils.
Well, this one's taking a while. I think there's a difference of opinion amongst the officials. What do we got?
Referee with his arm in the air. It is a false start against the Blue Devils. So that's good for the Silver Streaks. It goes from third and eight, now to third and 13.
Cardinals are through one inning, leading 1-0. Bring in the closer.
Now, let's stick with Carpenter for a while, if you don't mind.
With their closers, I think I'd stick with Carpenter.
Although Mott looked pretty good the other night in his one inning of work, didn't he?
Yeah, when he's throwing it, he throws about as hard as anybody in the league.
Used to call him Home Run Mott when he came up, but seems to have gotten that a little bit in check anyway. Just underway, first quarter here at Flynn Stadium. Third and 13 for the Quincy Blue Devils from their own 29. Zanger back to pass. He avoids one tackle. Handoff goes up the middle. Here's some running room up to the 40-yard line, but the Silver Streaks get the stop there, 2 yards short of the first down marker. The handoff went to Malik Robbins, just a sophomore. We've seen enough good, talented sophomores after last week's five touchdowns by Brandon Richardson for the Rock Island Rocks, but the Blue Devils come up a yard short of the first down here. And it looks like the punting unit's going to head out.
There's several Silver Streaks there, but I think O'Brien Allen was the major tackler on that play. So give him the credit for that, as the Streaks, as you said, able to hold here, it would appear. Devils on their senior night probably feeling pretty confident offensively, but they will go to punt formation. Watch out for the fake here, though, with only a yard to go.
Brandon White back to kick. 5'10", 160 pounds. He is a senior. Good snap. Here comes the rush, and a very high kick almost straight up in the air. Some of the Silver Streaks don't even know where it is. It goes to the Quincy side of the field. There's nobody within 20 yards of it, and finally Quincy walks over and downs it at the 42-yard line of the Silver Streaks.
It's one of those like you used to kick in the backyard when you were a kid. Hey, watch this. You kick it straight up in the air. That one, it got a little distance, but I think he kicked it so high, and we said the wind not a big factor, but I think it came into play there because he's kicking it towards the west, and that wind is out of the southwest. And so I think that really limited any distance that it might have gotten, so the Streaks get a break and start with the ball on their own 42.
8 yards short of midfield. Exactly 3 minutes gone in the first quarter. Silver Streaks line up in the I formation behind junior quarterback Will Anderson from their own 42. First offensive possession of the game for the Silver Streaks. Hand off to Trevon Diggins. Tries to get to the outside, and he's chased down. Trevon lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage, trying to run to the outside hash mark. No gain on first down.
Yeah, good lateral pursuit that time for the Blue Devils. Again, as we talk, they always have good athletes down here. It's just a matter of getting them to play as a cohesive unit. And so far this season, and to the surprise of many, they actually have, and Coach Rick Little says he's felt their defense has been a little ahead of their offense on a number of occasions this year, and he's kind of proud of that fact because, as we said at the pregame, for years, Quincy could score points, but they couldn't stop you.
Right.
And now they play a little defense here.
Ball marked back about a half a yard, so second and a long 10. Oh. Diggins hit in the backfield and taken down immediately at the 40-yard line. So a loss of two for sure there, and it brings up third and 12.
D'Angelo Dean, a name you'll hear in basketball season.
Yep.
The senior, 6'5", 190. That's a prototype defensive end build. And he comes over and just erased Diggins right there.
So third and long for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg has not fared well on third down this season. We're just over 4 minutes into the game. Quincy did not score in their first possession. Galesburg held them without a first down. Now the Silver Streaks facing third and 12 from their own 40. Out of the eye. Hand off up the middle to John Mixon, and he goes nowhere. Lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage at the 40. And the Silver Streaks run three offensive plays on the ground and pick up minus two.
Previous tackler was there again, D'Angelo Dean, along with help from junior Dakota Downs, a 5'11", 180-pound linebacker for this Quincy unit, and they made short work of the Streaks' offensive attempts right there, and the Streaks will punt.
With Tyler Brackett out with the foot injury, Drew Carlson gets the punting duties. He's standing at his own 26-yard line, approaching the 7-minute mark of the first quarter. Not much of a rush and a good punt away by Drew Carlson, taken on the run by the Blue Devils at the 30-yard line and run out of bounds. Jordan McGriff on the receiving end, and he's taken out at the 36-yard line. Blue Devils take over, 6:57 to go, first quarter. Both teams have had one offensive possession, and both teams still looking for their first down.
Good coverage by the Streaks punt coverage team, Cedric Washington and Kellen Malcolm, the ones leading the tackle there to knock Quincy out of bounds, and so they'll get the ball back fairly close to where they punted away from, back just a bit, but both teams having to kick on their first possessions.
Had to punt from their own 40 on the first possession, now lined up at their own 36. Hand off to the first man through out of the left side. That's Robbins with it. Gets to the 40-yard line. He'll pick up four on first down. Quincy Blue Devils likely keeping it on the ground most of the night. They have a short and small quarterback. He can run with it if he needs to, but with the three running backs that they have, Davis at fullback, Robbins at halfback, and McGriff at wingback, not much need for the quarterback to do much running, but about the time you think he won't, that's when they take off. Second and five for the Blue Devils from their own 41.
And usually not a game goes by without a little razzle-dazzle, some sort of double reverse or something. They really like to keep you honest on defense.
Out of the wing tee, handoff to the second man through. Good leading block, frees up Jordan McGriff into first down territory, down to the Galesburg 46-yard line, and two plays and a first down, and a big pickup of 13 on second down there for Jordan McGriff. Good lead block by the fullback Mike Davis, and that freed up McGriff to get through that line of scrimmage and into Galesburg territory.
I feel like we're playing Alleman. That's the way they're just pounding that thing right up the middle.
McGriff two carries for 12 yards.
These guys and Alleman pounded on each other a few weeks ago down here. Alleman with a late touchdown escaped with a narrow victory.
Hand off to the second man through. A little bit of running room. Streaks do a good job to close the hole across the middle. Robbins taken down right at the 44-yard line. He'll pick up two. It'll be second and eight. As we mentioned, sophomores lost tonight. They're 2-5 on the season. 35-20 the final there. Under 5.5 minutes to go on the varsity game. No score between the Quincy Blue Devils and the Silver Streaks. Both teams have had the ball. This is Quincy one time. This is Quincy's second offensive possession. Out of the wing tee behind the quarterback Zanger. Little, there's the razzle-dazzle, and it ends up being a fumble on the ground as they tried the double reverse handoff, and it's fumbled back at the 46-yard line. And did Quincy get it back? Looks like the Silver Streaks are not the final ones off the bottom of the pile. So the Blue Devils lucky after the double handoff results with the ball on the ground back at the 47-yard line. They lose three, and it'll be third and 11.
That's one of those plays where it's high risk, high reward, because if it works, you look great for mixing it up. If it doesn't, you got fans on the home side here probably saying, well, we're just grinding it out up the middle. Why are we messing with that stuff?
Blue Devils did not convert on their first third down opportunity. That was also a third and long at third and 12. This is third and just over 10 yards, 4.5 minutes to go first quarter. From the Galesburg 47, a toss to the outside. Here comes Robbins trying to get to the outside. Streaks taken down immediately right at the line of scrimmage marker, so he gets a yard back, and it'll be fourth and 10, and the Streaks defense has come to play here in the early going.
Yeah, Jonathan Mix tackle there, pumped up as he jumps up, and Galesburg holding again. And, you know, I guess what we were told by the coaches, especially Rick Little of Quincy, their defense is the stronger part of their team. And so far, at least in this first quarter, that has been evident.
Quincy still huddling up back at the 45-yard line. Now they will line up in punt formation. Brandon White standing at his own 41 for the Silver Streaks. Cedric Washington back to receive at the 10-yard line. 3:45 to go first quarter. Streaks hoping for their second offensive possession here with no score. The rush is on. Good kick away. And it bounces at the 19-yard line. Takes a Quincy roll down to the 14. Then roll laterally where the Blue Devils will down it there. So even though Quincy gets only one first down out of that offensive series, they pin Galesburg back a little deeper. Silver Streaks their first possession at the 42. This one back at their own 14-yard line now, 3:35 to go first quarter.
Cardinals still leading in their National League playoff game against the Phillies, 1-0 in the bottom of the second. Phillies do have a runner at second base, though, and they're threatening to try and tie the game. Earlier, Milwaukee and Tennessee advanced with a 3-2 win over Arizona.
Out of the eye, mixing the up man, Cedric Washington in at the tailback spot. Two wideouts to the top of the field. To the right of quarterback Will Anderson. The linebackers creep up. The handoff goes to Washington. Little hole across the middle. He runs right into those linebackers at the 19-yard line. Stood up and pushed backwards. But with Cedric Washington's first carry of the game goes as a gain of 5 for the Silver Streaks. Good pickup. Nice hole across the middle created by the Silver Streaks offensive line front. It'll be second and, call it second and 4. Give Washington a gain of 6.
Yeah, Washington's progress finally stopped by 250-pound defensive lineman Alex Bug of Quincy. So you'd love to see that kind of yardage on first down every play. Give you a few more options in your play calling now on second and 4.
Especially this deep in your own territory.
Uh-oh.
Well, that one will result in a loss back to the 16-yard line. So the Silver Streaks get 4 yards back on the handoff to John Mixon, and Quincy's linebackers were into the backfield immediately, and the Silver Streaks taken down for a loss of 4, and it'll be 3rd and 8 now. So they go from 2nd and 4 to 3rd and 8, and much more difficult now back at their own 16-yard line.
Yeah, let's see. We've had 3 plays in our first 2 series here go for losses as we've got a Quincy team that's very aggressive trying to get into our backfield.
Silver Streaks have 5 rushes for 0 yards out of the eye. Anderson on the keeper, tucks it in, running right, tackled immediately up to the 19-yard line. He'll pick up 3, but that's not nearly enough. Streaks will have to punt it away again, deeper in their own territory now. Mark the ball right at the 18 for a gain of 2. Under 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Both teams have now had the ball twice. Silver Streaks still looking for their first down. Quincy has only 1 first down and no score with 1:45 to go. Drew Carlson pinned further back at his own 4 now. With 2 back to receive the punt, now whistles on the field, flags down, and we have delay of game against the Silver Streaks. Galesburg a little slow to get to the line to get this one set. 4 of the officials come in to talk it over. Here comes the referee's call. And it is offsides on Quincy. How about that?
Wow, that's, I don't, is it not quite enough for a first down?
Nope. We'll go from 4th and 7 to 4th and, a little closer than I thought, actually.
But it's still not an area you go for it unless you're really throwing caution to the wind here.
Yeah, no. Back at your own 24-yard line. Well, now we got a change of personnel on the field for the Silver Streaks. And 4th and less than a yard. Are they going to go for this?
You know, it's not like we've got anything to lose at this point of the season, but Quincy has shown that ability to get into our backfield. They've hit us for losses. It's
all
kind
right.
of surprising. We may just be trying to draw them off sides. Maybe we'll never snap this ball.
Here we go out of the I formation. Innes to the near side, bottom of the field. A little jumping by Quincy by three different players. Now Anderson steps up and looks to the sideline, and Galesburg's going to call a timeout. So you're right, Jim, did try to draw them off sides with less than a yard to go now, and that's the first Galesburg timeout with a minute 18 to go here in this first quarter. Let's get a Cardinals update.
Cardinals escaped without any damage in the second inning, so they go on to the top of the third, still leading the Phillies 1-0.
On, trying to remember, for Call tripled and then Schumacher doubled. That's
yep.
how they got their run.
Yep.
In the first inning.
See if we can't check out the prep football scoreboard. There's probably a number of games already well at halftime by now. We got started so late here.
1:18 to go in this first quarter. We kicked off just after 8 o'clock here at Flynn Stadium on senior night for the Quincy Blue Devils. Second possession for the Silver Streaks. No score between Galesburg and Quincy. Streaks defense is held tough here tonight, but so is Quincy's. And the Silver Streaks coming out of their first timeout face fourth and one, actually fourth and less than a yard from their own 23-yard line. Silver Streaks do still line up to go for it out of the I formation. Anderson with a quarterback sneak, and he got it. And
wow.
he's still moving forward across the 25, close to the 28-yard line. Well, give the Silver Streaks a lot of credit, and a gutsy call by Coach Tim Doherty to go for that. And the offsides, as the Silver Streaks lined up for the punt, the offsides by the Quincy defense is what triggered this to stay alive. And the Silver Streaks have a new set of downs at their own 28-yard line.
I was down on the sidelines a number of years ago with Zach Chatterton, his first year as head coach, and he went for one in a similar position, did not make it. It turned the whole game around.
Quincy, oh, down here, that's
yeah,
right.
Quincy scored just before the half and then put it to us in the second half. It completely changed the momentum of the game when we were leading at that point 6-0. But this time it pays off for another first-year head coach in Tim Doherty.
Hand off up the middle. Cedric Washington gains a yard on first down. It'll be second and nine from the Galesburg 29-yard line. Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL. 1:30, the kickoff between the Fighting Illini ranked, gosh, where are they now? 5-0 on the season. I guess it depends which poll you're looking at. Out of the eye, Jake Innes lines up to the top of the field. Handoff goes to the right. Little bit of running room, then the hole closes quickly. Still on his feet, John Mixon bounces off a defender, stops short of the 35-yard line. Forward progress takes him right to the 35. John Mixon gains six, and it'll be third and three for the Silver Streaks. Again, a nice hole opened up across the middle for the Silver Streaks, giving Mixon some room to run, and that's the end of the first quarter. Scoreless first quarter. Galesburg and Quincy, after one from Flynn Stadium, tied at zero. It's the Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone at Quincy's Flynn Stadium. Silver Streaks, the Quincy Blue Devils, favored in this game, but were tied at zero after one quarter. Silver Streaks, aided by a Quincy penalty on a punt formation on fourth and six, got Galesburg down to fourth and one. They decided to go for it on the quarterback sneak. And the Silver Streaks converted a fourth down. Now they face third and three from their own 35-yard line, ready to start the second quarter.
Alleman is trailing Rock Island 13-6 in the second quarter. Looks like they gave Rock Island a touchdown. Markel Richardson had a fumble recovery for a score in that first quarter.
Third and three out of the eye from the Galesburg 35. Handoff straight up the middle. John Mixon bounces to the outside, then run down from behind at the 44-yard line. But a first down for the Silver Streaks. Mixon gains six, and the Silver Streaks move the chains. Their second first down on this current possession.
The other Western Big Six game tonight, Moline leading United Township 7-0. That game still in the first quarter, so they apparently got a bit of a late start there as well.
All right, we'll give Mixon 9 on first down, on third down, rather. 4 carries, 11 yards for the Silver Streaks junior. Man in motion, Jake Innes, to the near side of the field, the Quincy sideline. Handoff up the middle, getting down low. John Mixon across the 45, close to the 49-yard line, the knee down at the 48. He'll pick up 4 more on first down. Silver Streaks with 2nd and 6 coming up. Like what I see from the Silver Streaks on this drive. Not only, obviously, the fourth down conversion was a huge part of this, but like the way the Silver Streaks are chewing up some yards and chewing up some clock here, hanging onto the ball, keeping it out of Quincy's hands.
Yeah, keeping the big Quincy crowd out of it, too. They put a lot of people in this Flynn Stadium. They can make a lot of noise on this senior night, but so far the Streaks have been able to hold their own here in a scoreless game.
Just short of midfield, out of the eye. Hand off up the middle again. John Mixon works to the right. First down territory at the 45, still on his feet.
Tough.
Finally
run.
Dragged down at the 40-yard line, and another first down for the Silver Streaks after a gain of 11.
Yeah, I think Mixon dragged a couple of tacklers, an extra 2 or 3 yards that time. Jordan Zanger, the Quincy quarterback, also playing defense, is the one that finally, with some help, was able to bring Mixon the ball down.
John Mixon was -4 on his first 2 carries of the night. Since then, he's picked up 31 yards in the last 4 carries. Silver Streaks have a new set of downs at the Quincy 40, first time into Blue Devil territory. Wide out to the top of the field is Trevon Diggins, Jake Innes to the short side, the near side for the Quincy Blue Devils, and John Mixon the lone setback. He gets the handoff, got some running room, trying to bounce to the outside to the 25, to the 20. Finally run down at the Quincy 15-yard line out of bounds, and the Silver Streaks are in the Blue Devil red zone with a new set of downs. Gain of 25 for John Mixon, and the Silver Streaks offensive line doing a terrific job creating some running room for the Silver Streaks running backs.
Well, you can see some confidence building in that Streaks team now as we're getting into the second quarter, maybe an opportunity to take the lead here. That daring call to go for it on fourth down deep in their own territory seems to have sparked the Streaks, and they're all the way down to the Quincy 15 now.
10-10 to go in the first half. We're underway in the second quarter. Good luck to Joe Trone of Galesburg. Silver Streaks can score on this drive or at all here in the second quarter. He'll be a winner in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest. Trevon Diggins with a handoff. Tucks the ball underneath inside the 10-yard line. Down to the 9 for a pickup of 6 on first down. Like to see the Silver Streaks wrap up that ball the way they're carrying it right now. Silver Streaks inside the 10 with a 2nd and 4. From the Quincy 9, under 10 minutes to go in the first half. Silver Streaks' 2nd offensive possession of the game. This is the 12th play of the drive upcoming from the 9. And now whistles as the Silver Streaks bring the team set and a timeout called by the Quincy Blue Devils. So a defensive timeout. 9:35 to go first half. No score between Galesburg and Quincy. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's not every day that you can go out to eat and make a difference at the same time. It's called Dine Out for United Way, and it's going on all this week. It's real easy. Sometime this week, simply eat out at one of the dozens of participating area restaurants. While you're there, drop some change in the canister. The best part is your donation supports the agencies that provide much-needed services to people in need right here in Knox County. Dine Out for United Way. To see the list of participating restaurants, go to unitedway-galesburg.net.
Interactive sports talk with scores, expert analysis, and so much more. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Silver Streaks have put together a nice offensive possession here with 3:35 to go in the first quarter. Silver Streaks started this drive from their own 14-yard line. They are now down to the Quincy 9-yard line. With a 2nd and 5 upcoming and the 12th play of the drive with 9:35 to go in this first half. Silver Streaks have taken 6 minutes off the clock. Man in motion, Jake Innes, out of the eye. Anderson brings the team set. Hand off to Diggins. A little bit of a hole inside the 5-yard line down to the 4. And the Streaks face a 1st and goal after a gain of 5 by junior Trevon Diggins.
Now that's the thing. With Diggins, a little bit of a hole is all he needs because he's explosive in his speed. And he squirts through there And then he gets a little power running going too, running north and south, and it becomes harder to take him down. So the streaks behind the running of Mixon and Diggins, and you got to give that offensive line credit. They're doing a job right now, and the streaks threatening to really shock the hometown Quincy crowd here by taking the lead.
13th play of the drive. The Silver Streaks have moved it 82 yards thus far. First and goal from the four. Hand off Diggins. Gets down low. Pushes forward, and he's got the touchdown.
Well, you know, Coach Tim Doherty was telling you that he feels like the offensive line is starting to do some better things and getting better every week, and I think that drive may have been one of the best of the season. That was an impressive, just really punch-him-in-the-mouth type drive. Just took the ball right down the field on the ground, opening hole after hole, and the Streaks have the lead.
Aided by a Quincy penalty when the Silver Streaks lined up to punt back at their own 16-yard line. That got it to fourth and one and a gutsy fourth down call, and the kick hits the left upright and falls left. So Drew Carlson can't convert the extra point, but the Silver Streaks lead 6-0 with 9:12 to go in the first quarter, and it makes a winner of Joe Trone of Galesburg. He's got a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg as the result of the Silver Streaks 4-yard touchdown run by Trayvon Diggins, who now has just 13 yards on 5 carries tonight, but none bigger than that last four. An 86-yard scoring drive for the Silver Streaks that took up 13 plays.
Well, and obviously they're going to be a fired-up bunch now when they come out on defense with an opportunity to try and hold on to a lead. We haven't had a lead this deep in the ball game since the first week. We've jumped out on top of a couple of teams, but it didn't last very long. This time we're approaching the middle part of the second quarter, and we'll see what we can do. Watch the kickoff coverage, though, because Quincy's got a couple of guys deep that can give you problems, especially Malik Robbins, a sophomore back there. And trying to see who else they've got ready to kick off return. Looks like Jordan McGriff, the other one. Both these guys can take it the distance.
A 13-play scoring drive covers 86 yards. Silver Streaks take 6 minutes and 23 seconds off the clock. 9:12 to go in the first half. And an end-over-end, a squib kick for the Silver Streaks, taken on the run at the 30-yard line. A big hit at the 40-yard line. The return by Blaze Rose, and he was met hard by a Galesburg special teams wall at the 40.
How about Jacob Ryden? And he got up talking to him, reminded him, I'm 69. 69, don't come in my area again. And the kid's still down. Wow, he really got a – well, he's bounced up now, avoided. You know, he got the ball on one bounce, and I think he was thinking big return.
He's woozy.
And as soon as he got to the 40, Ryden just leveled him. Yes, he did a player last week, too.
That's right.
He was our day's auto body crunch time player of the game, and I don't think we'll have a bigger crunch in this one than what Jacob Ryden just put on him.
So let's see. The Silver Streaks have been very stiff defensively here on Quincy's first two offensive possessions, holding the Blue Devils to just one first down. Handoff goes to the right side. Robbins ducks underneath, gets across the 40 to the 41. Looks like Robbins might have been met in the backfield, but somehow he slid through there and actually advanced the ball to the 42. Still a pickup of just two on first down.
Dylan Hovind among those on the tackle, probably the majority of the tackle right there, the sophomore defensive lineman for the Streaks. Quincy, after they had some power running early on in this one, has kind of lost their momentum on offense. They're trying to find a little moxie here and get their hometown crowd back into it.
Five carries, 21 yards for the sophomore Malik Robbins. Handoff to the second man through. Not much of a hole there, but he manages to work his way up to the 45-yard line. Goes Mike Davis, the senior. And that'll be third and five upcoming for the Quincy Blue Devils. They're actually going to mark him back at the 43. So he picks up just a yard on third down. It's third and seven.
O'Brien Allen and a host of other Silver Streaks there on the tackle. They seem to have closed things up inside. We'll see if Quincy tries to come up with a little something to get one of their players in some space here on third and long.
Under 8 minutes to go in the first half. Silver Streaks with a 6-0 lead over the Quincy Blue Devils. Quincy needing a win to stay playoff eligible. Out of the wing tee on third and seven from their own 43. And now whistles just as the play gets underway. This play goes dead. Likely a penalty against the Quincy Blue Devils with somebody moving on that offensive line. Referee comes over. False start. So what we've seen the Silver Streaks do the past few weeks with some key penalties that hurt themselves in some big situations. Now Quincy has done it for the second time. And they'll go from 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 12 on their third penalty.
What a great opportunity for Galesburg here if they can hold on the 3rd and long, get the ball back. How about another 6-minute drive, score again, and go into halftime in great shape.
So back to the Quincy 38-yard line. Blue Devils 0 for 2. On third down so far, under 7.5 minutes to go in this first half. Galesburg defensively trying to hold on to a 6-0 lead. Back to pass. Zanger looking downfield. Has some room. Trevon Diggins comes over and bats it out of the air incomplete. Trevon had some big closing distance to fill, and he got underneath there, and he's not very tall, but he got a finger up there and knocked the ball away, and it falls incomplete.
And Zanger comes off the field, the Quincy quarterback. He's hot, and I think he's mad at himself. He took too long to get rid of that ball. The man was wide open going down the sideline. It just took him too long to recognize. And then, Brad, as you said, Trevon Diggins could close gaps in a hurry. He hung that ball up there, threw it accurately, but just too late, and Diggins was able to knock it away.
Cedric Washington at the 25-yard line, ready to take this kick from Brandon White, standing at his own 26. Galesburg with momentum, 7:19 to go, and another very short kick. Spinning to the middle of the field, then takes a Galesburg bounce back into Quincy territory at the 46-yard line. A very short punt, and they net just 7 out of the punt.
Well, Silver Streak's trying to take advantage of a Quincy team that doesn't really seem to have their heads in it at times here tonight. They've had some key penalties, a couple of very poor punts, and the Silver Streak's gaining confidence as we go with the ball already in Quincy territory. Let's avoid any turnovers here and see if we can't march it down again.
Jake Innes, the wideout, to the bottom of the field. That's the Quincy side. Silver Streaks with two tight ends packed in tight with the I formation behind quarterback Will Anderson. Handoff up the middle. That's Cedric Washington across the 45 down to the 42-yard line for a pickup of 4 on first down.
Yeah, it looked like that play might end up gaining more, but somebody just erased him coming from the blind side, knocked him sideways, and kept him to that gain of 4 on the play. Quick baseball update. The Cardinals and Phillies top of the 4th now. Chris Carpenter getting it done so far. Still 1-0. Cardinals leading Philadelphia.
Actually mark it at the 43, so a pickup of 3 for Cedric Washington. 2nd and 7 for the Silver Streaks. 3 carries, 10 yards. Toss instead of the handoff to the right side. Mixon gains maybe a yard down to the 42, close to the 41-yard line. 3rd and 5 very quickly for the Silver Streaks coming up from the Quincy 41-yard line. Mixon with 8 carries for 54 yards tonight. A 25-yard run by Mixon got Galesburg down to the 15-yard line of the Blue Devils on the last possession. Trevon Diggins ran it in the final 4 eventually, and the Silver Streaks lead 6-0. Midpoint of the second quarter. Galesburg starting this drive in Quincy territory at the 46. It's a 3rd and 5 from just outside the Blue Devil 41. Out of the eye with Mixon, the up man. He takes the handoff on a delayed run. He's into first down territory to the 30, still on his feet, trying to be taken down by the Blue Devils. And finally, he's rolled down at the 29, maybe the 28-yard line.
He just would not go down. And finally, there were about 6 Quincy players around him, and they had to wrestle him down at that. Mixon was very determined on that, to say the least. And a first down and more. Silver Streaks at the Quincy 29.
66 yards on the ground now for John Mixon. 2nd 3rd down conversion of the night for the Silver Streaks. And a new set of downs from the Blue Devil 29. 5.5 minutes to go. 2nd quarter. Galesburg trying to build on a 6-0 lead. Handoff left side. Cedric Washington taken down by the legs at the line of scrimmage. And then a couple of extra blue jerseys come in hard, trying to pop the ball loose. Cedric hangs on to it. No gain on first down.
That play went on a little long, I thought. No flags, but you wonder if maybe we won't see one of those before too long. Is the Quincy defense, I think, getting a little frustrated?
I thought forward progress got Cedric back to the line of scrimmage at least. They're actually going to mark him for a loss of 2. So it's back inside the Quincy 31-yard line, under 5 minutes to play first half. Single setback is John Mixon, 2 tight ends and 1 wideout to each side of the field. Will Anderson under center, flinching by the Quincy defense. Handoff goes to Mixon, nowhere to go for him. Stopped at the 31 for no gain. It'll be 3rd and 11 for the Silver Streaks.
Well, Silver Streaks offense not real imaginative right now, but what they made work in the previous drive was just conservative plays, off tackle, inside, punching it up the middle. And
yeah, not a pass play yet for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, and now it's kind of ground to a halt here in the last two plays. Excuse me, anyway, we've got a timeout on the field taken by Galesburg.
Second timeout of the first half, 4:23 to go in the second quarter. Galesburg on top of Quincy, 6-0. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm talking, but they're not listening. Could you explain to your furry pals that Thorns didn't go out of business? They moved. Thorns Pets and Supplies has reopened on Prairie Street. They needed more space for their huge selection of dog and cat food. They've got everything under the sun. All the cool cats are shopping there, and the dogs give it two paws up. Plus a dog wash. Yes, you can give your dog a bath right at the store. No more messes in your bathroom at home.
Thorns Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, across from Stone Hayes in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Keeping you informed 24 hours a day. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Galesburg facing third and 11. They're 2-for-2 on third downs in the second quarter, 2-for-4 on the game. Streaks leading Quincy 6-0. 4:23 to go here in the first half. Ball spotted just inside of the near hash mark of the Quincy 32-yard line. Will Anderson brings the play in from the Galesburg sideline after the Silver Streaks timeout, their second of this first half. Sophomores lost tonight 35-20. This is senior night at Quincy, and the Blue Devils trying to end on a positive note for their final home game of the season. But the Silver Streaks trying to add to it. On third down, just a handoff straight up the middle. Just a little dive play right across the middle. Not much for John Mixon. Just gets inside the 30, down to the 29-yard line. Pickup of a couple. And fourth down for the Silver Streaks. What will they do here now? Facing fourth and 10. Back to the original line of scrimmage.
You really probably don't stand to gain much if you kick it into the end zone.
Nope.
Gain whole yards. So to me, it's worth going for it on fourth and 9, although we don't have a whole lot of fourth and 9 type of plays in our playbook with we threw the ball well at times in the second half of the Alleman game and a little bit last week, so let's see what we can do here.
And now whistles just as the Silver Streaks bring the team set at the line of scrimmage. And they use their final timeout of the first half with 3:37 to go in the second quarter, leading 6-0. Coach Tim Doherty wants to make sure that the Streaks do not further damage themselves here on what could be a key momentum turn in the first half if they were to make a mistake. What do you show in terms of any change in the score from the Phillies-Cardinals game, Jim? Still 1-0.
Going to the bottom of the fourth now. Cardinals had a runner on second there. I don't know what happened in the top of the fourth, but I show the game going to the bottom of the fourth now. So whatever happened, it wasn't good for the Cardinals, but they still lead it.
Want to mention again for the Galesburg High School final home game of the season next week against the Moline Maroons. The GHS Key Club and the Student Council are partnering together for a lot going on next week. The Key Club is hosting a food drive for the Fish Food Pantry, and the Student Council is holding a costume contest for elementary school age children who agree to bring 3 non-perishable or canned food items to the game. Perky's Farm Store has donated a trailer to fill with the food items. Come on out, watch Silver Streaks against Moline next week. Help out the Fish Food Pantry. Empty backfield for the Silver Streaks. Anderson steps back in a short drop, and the whistles blow. And another timeout by the Quincy Blue Devils. So Coach Rick Little uses his final timeout just as the Silver Streaks are ready to snap the ball away. He got a good look at what Galesburg was doing coming out of that timeout. And we're going to have another stoppage of play here. Pretty quick moving first half, as it turned out. But now here in the final couple of minutes here, the last couple of minutes, things have really come to a standstill as the Streaks face 4th and 10 from the Blue Devil 29-yard line. And as Jim mentioned, really don't stand to gain very much by punting the ball, so the Silver Streaks are lining up to go for it. And just a succession of timeouts here by both teams to really try to make something good happen right before halftime. Streaks leading 6-0.
Well, let's go ahead and see if we can't get another score update on some of the prep scores. We've been keeping an eye on the Cardinals. We knew earlier Rock Island was leading Alleman
Milwaukee defeated Arizona as the Brewers move on to the National League Championship Series. Now we're ready to go here. Fourth and 10 from the Quincy 29-yard line. Streaks show a different formation. Fourth and 10 from the 29. A single setback. A short drop by Anderson. Lost it downfield. Wide open. Trevon Diggins. Touchdown. Wide open downfield. Trevon had to come back for it, but he was still wide open to make the catch, and he stepped into the end zone untouched. What a fourth down conversion for the Silver Streaks to take a 12-0 lead.
You know, last week Rock Island had a guy in the defensive secondary, I think it was that probably Richardson, that could go with Trevon one-on-one. Well, Quincy tried to do that. The Streaks got the matchup they wanted, and Diggins just blew by Jordan Zanger out there. Zanger, who's had a tough first half. He's the quarterback that overthrew or was a little late on his target, actually, in their last possession, and then that time got burned on the corner by Diggins as the Streaks go for two here.
They missed the extra point kick earlier, so they'll go for two. Handoff to Diggins. Jukes toward the middle of the field, and he runs it in for a two-point conversion, and the Streaks lead 14-0 with 3:26 to go in the first half. A seven-play scoring drive covering 46 yards, and the Silver Streaks take 3 minutes and 45 seconds off the clock and now lead 14-0. Trevon Diggins has both touchdowns and now the two-point conversion.
Hey, you got to be impressed, obviously, by what the Streaks are doing here right now, no matter what happens the rest of the way. They've come down here to play football. You know, they could have just tanked it and mailed it in the last 3 weeks of the season, but they've done anything but that. And, of course, you got to credit the coaches for an excellent game plan here coming in as well. The players executing it, and now with a two-touchdown lead, and this will shock the folks up in the Quad Cities when they see that score, what's going on down here in Quincy tonight with Galesburg playing so well. And it's hard to imagine how this Quincy team nearly beat Alleman and stayed with Moline for most of the game.
And shut down United Township like they did last week.
Isn't that
30,
amazing?
What was it, 35-6?
Yeah.
A team that rolled over the Silver Streaks in the fourth game of the season. Drew Carlson, squib kick across the middle of the field at the 28-yard line. And it's Blaze Rose again after he got drilled by Jacob Ryden. He's still in there running
there.
And he stopped at the 36.
Ryden wrapped him up and got him from the side this time instead of just blasting him from the front. So, wow. Inspiring play in a lot of areas by the Silver Streaks here in this first half.
All right, imperative for the Galesburg defense, which has been so good here in the first half, not to let Quincy find the end zone. 3:22 to go in the first half. The Silver Streaks have dominated, leading 14-0. They have held the Blue Devils to only one first down through the first quarter plus.
Alleman has tied Rock Island at 13.
Hand off to the second man through, up the middle of the field, still on his feet, close to the 50-yard line before Mike Davis, the fullback, is finally brought down for a gain of 13, and just what the Silver Streaks didn't want to happen. Not the worst thing that could have happened, but a big play on first down gives Quincy some momentum up to midfield, and still over 3 minutes to go in the first half.
Moline now leads United Township 14-8 that game in the second quarter. So that's a little tighter game than maybe you would have thought after UT's dismal performance down here last week.
Still keeping an eye on the Cardinals-Phillies game. Redbirds leading 1-0 over the Phillies, bottom of the fourth. Out of the wing tee set. Zanger brings his team set. Hand off to the second man through nowhere. Absolutely nowhere to go for the wingback Jordan McGriff, who stopped right at the line of scrimmage, wrapped up from the front and the backside for no gain. Coming up at halftime, Jim, good interview and another successful Silver Streaks athletic program to talk about when we come up to the break in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing from Marcy Davis, the Silver Streaks girls golf coach. Of course, they've had a fantastic week.
Well, I guess.
Not only the Western Big Six, but also the regional. They got the sectional on Monday. We'll talk to Marcy about that here in just a few minutes.
Hand off. Trying to get to the outside, Malik Robbins juking to the backfield. It gets back to the line of scrimmage for no gain. Still in Quincy territory at the 49-yard line. It'll be 3rd and 10 for the Blue Devils as we approach the 2-minute mark of this second quarter. How about this Silver Streaks defense tonight? What a job. Still a long way to go, obviously, but they've allowed the Silver Streaks offense to hang on to the ball, put together two pretty good scoring drives for a 14-0 lead. And now a big third down here for the Galesburg defense. Blue Devils 3rd and 10 from their own 49-yard line. Trying to break into Galesburg territory. Back to pass. Good protection. Swing pass to the near side. And it's caught by Jared Zanger. Trying to get upfield. Looks like the ball almost got stripped out of his hands. He's taken down at the first down marker at the Quincy sideline. Are we going to have a measurement? The Quincy coach is standing on the sideline saying, that's a first down. Just move the chains. The referee kind of eyeballing it. Depends on the spot here.
I think the Quincy players are.
We can't see the ball from where we are.
Where that official's foot is, looking across the far sideline.
I think he's got it.
All right, they're not even going to measure. Minute 35 to go before the half.
So the first successful pass play of the game from Jordan Zanger to his twin brother Jared goes as a gain of 10 down to the Galesburg 41-yard line. Their first third down conversion of the night and a new set of downs in Streaks territory with 91 seconds to play in the first half and only one Quincy timeout remaining.
An eye on the Cardinals. Philadelphia has runners on the corners with two out in the bottom of the fourth. Cardinals still leading 1-0.
And a conference by the officials right at midfield here at Quincy. And Coach Rick Little leans out 10 yards onto the field, leaning in, trying to hear what the officials are conferring about here. There's still three of them still talking it over at the 50. Galesburg leading 14-0. Ball sitting at the Galesburg 41-yard line with 1:31 to go in the second quarter. Galesburg defense trying to come up big. They've shut out Quincy through most of this first half and trying to prevent Quincy from getting some halftime momentum if they can keep him out of the end zone here. Jordan Zanger brings his team set. Hand off to the first man through.
Good
Mike
job.
Davis runs into a wall of white jerseys for no gain.
Leading tackler that time for Galesburg looked to be Derek Brackett, 71, with some help from Ryden and a few others.
You know, Derek's happy to be playing again after dealing with some tendonitis earlier in the season.
Big tackle there. Clock at a minute 10 and counting. Cardinals survive the bottom of the fourth. They go to the fifth, still leading 1-0.
Zanger brings his team set quickly. 60 seconds to go in the first half. Handoff trying to get to the outside. Jordan McGriff, a little bit of running room. Two Silver Streaks take him down at the 36-yard line.
Nice tackle by Diggins because he kept him from getting out of bounds. That would have stopped the clock. Diggins tackles inbounds, and now Quincy forced to use a timeout here with 48 seconds left.
Their final one of the first half. Third and five upcoming from the Galesburg 36-yard line. As Jim mentioned, 48 and a half seconds to go. Silver Streaks leading 14-0. Quincy 1 of 4 on third down so far tonight. They did convert their only third down opportunity of this drive. It was a 3rd and 10, and it was a pass play from Jordan Zanger to Jared Zanger that went down right at the first down marker. But without measuring, the officials went ahead and gave the Blue Devils a first down. And now Quincy uses its final timeout. 48 and a half seconds to go with the Silver Streaks trying to protect a 14-0 lead.
And they probably got to have a couple of plays called here because they not going to have too much time to huddle and stand around.
Two down territory no timeouts remaining.
If they end up having to kick, they'll have the wind at their back, but they're a long ways from being able to do that at this point.
And it's really even more of a side wind.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, out of the three-set backfield on 3rd and 5. Hand off to the right side. McGriff tried to get to the outside.
Very
Robbins
good.
Tried to get to the outside. The Silver Streaks contained him, and when he cut upfield, the Streaks were there for the defensive stop for no gain. It'll be 4th and 5. Quincy can't stop the clock with under 30 seconds to go now, second quarter.
That's got to be a shock to these Quincy players who, and the coaches too, the fact that, I mean, the Galesburg defense looked like Swiss cheese last week, chasing the rocks all over the field. And tonight, Quincy can't find an alley to run.
Watch for the big play here, down to 4th and Galesburg 36. Back to pass. Zanger under pressure. Down the middle of the field. Has a man open, and it's knocked away. On the defensive coverage, Michael Varner and Trevon Diggins were there to make the stop. It's incomplete. And the Silver Streaks take over on downs with 7 seconds to go.
Yeah, Varner right in front of the would-be pass catcher, and then Diggins flying over from the side. If one didn't get it, the other was going to. Couldn't tell who knocked it down, but one of them got a paw on it, and that's all it took. And the Streaks will take the ball back, probably just kneel on it with 6 seconds to go here and go into halftime up 14-0.
What a first half for the Galesburg varsity, trying to snap a 5-game losing streak on the season. 0-3 in the Western Big Six. Quincy got its first win of the season last week, dominating Oneida Township. And here are the Silver Streaks with a great defensive first half and a couple of touchdowns to boot, and lead it 14-0 as they head off to halftime. Anderson takes a knee, and the Silver Streaks take a 2-touchdown lead into the break on senior night at Flynn Stadium. Again, a visit with Streaks girls golf coach Marcy Davis coming up at halftime. Quick Cardinals update, Jim. Looks like still 1-0.
Top of the fifth, yep, 1-0, as Chris Carpenter has held the Phillies in check on two hits so far.
Trying to face the Brewers in the National League Championship Series. Halftime at Quincy. Streaks lead by 2 touchdowns. It's the Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Pratty Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premium. Call me, Mike Pratty, at Pratty Insurance for more information today to start saving.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight: clear skies, an overnight low around 58. For tomorrow, sunny skies and a high reaching around 85. And tomorrow night, clear skies with an overnight low around 58. Sunny skies on your Sunday and a high reaching around 82. And Sunday night, look for clear skies with an overnight low around 55. It's currently 72 degrees in downtown Galesburg at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report, brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. This is healthcare.
Halftime with Silver Streaks football on WGIL, and last week we had a chance to talk with Dean Betts, the boys' golf coach, and things have gone well for his team, obviously. And this week, great timing to be able to talk to Marcy Davis, the head coach of the Galesburg girls' golf team, and they have had a spectacular week, winning not only the Western Big Six title on Monday, but turning around and winning the regional. Marcy Davis, head coach, joining us now. And Marcy, congratulations. And is this something you thought possible with this bunch, to be able to win two tournaments in 3 days?
Well, thank you, first of all, and I think we ended up kind of surprising ourselves, but we knew we were capable of, winning Western Big Six and regionals, but throughout the season in our nine-hole matches, we had not beaten Quincy or Moline, and we beat Quincy and Moline on Monday and ended up beating Moline again on Wednesday, so...
Yeah,
and it was in a different regional.
And did it by 8 strokes. And, you know, I think the thing that's probably the measure of your season, I think everybody knew that Marissa Vincent and Jessica Lieber were going to be outstanding coming in. They had that record. But it was whether some of the other girls that weren't as experienced could step up and play the kind of golf that is necessary to round out that scoring. And I think they've been getting better and better, haven't they?
Oh, they definitely have. Our freshman, Jordan Kohler, she shot 89 on Monday and then came back and shot 85 on Wednesday, which is awesome for a freshman to be able to shoot in the 80s, and to do it two meets in a row is great. And then Natalie Johnson, she's been pretty solid for us, and Madison Fuller, this is her first year playing golf, and she has made great improvements throughout the year, so I'm very proud of all of them.
And you played on the same course both days. That's kind of unusual, isn't it, to have, I guess that was kind of an advantage for you there.
Oh, it was definitely an advantage, I think. It's very unusual, but the girls played a practice round for their Western Big Six, and then a few of them went up and played another one for regionals, and so they had seen the course pretty often here lately, and so I think that was a huge advantage for them.
Has it been a big help, I guess, for all golf teams, this weather that we're having? Many times we turn the page to October and things get kind of rainy and windy and tough, but this has been fantastic, hasn't it?
It's been great. Actually, our Western Big Six was scheduled for last Monday, and it was raining and freezing cold, and we ended up canceling it in the middle of the round, and the week made a huge difference. And usually by this time we're wearing layers and have hand warmers, and it was kind of nice just to be in our skorts and golf shirts yesterday.
I'll bet. Now, you know, you talked about some of the underclassmen. I mentioned both Jessica and Marissa, and they've at various times shared medalist honors in events this year. Are they as good as they can be, Marcy, or do you see them being able to cut a few more strokes off their game?
I think they've, you know, it's always possible to cut a few more strokes off, but they've played great here in this last week, and you know, if they can continue doing what they've done, I think that would be great. It's very unusual for a team to have two girls that can shoot in the 70s, so for a lot of teams it's unusual to have one, so for us to have two, that's a big advantage.
Do they have similar strengths out on the course, or is their the strength of their game quite a bit different in the way they play?
It's pretty similar. Both of them, if they have a bad hole, they're able to kind of forget about it and move on, which is very, it's a big deal out there to not get, have their head
sure
in the way of their game.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't think about the last hole and what could have been, but just go forward, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of going forward, just a couple of days from now, on Monday, you'll be at the sectional over at Mattoon. Tell us about your schedule here, practice-wise, and heading over there this weekend. Is that what you're doing, Marcy?
Yeah, we're going to have practice today, and we're going to take a day off Friday. We're going to take off just because they've played so many holes here lately, just to give them a little break. And then we're going to head to Mattoon on Sunday morning to play a practice round, and we'll play 18 holes that day and get ready for our tournament on Monday.
Clear over on the other side of the state, is this a course that you or anybody else is familiar with?
No, nobody on our team has seen it or played it, so we'll definitely take a lot of notes at our practice round and hopefully use that to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you talked, golf is much mental, if not more than it is physical. How about the approach to seeing all these good golfers every level you go up? You probably face a little more pressure because you've got to have scores that are even better. Do the girls know much of the competition that's going to be over there, other than just the Moline and Rock Island teams that'll be going too?
We've seen quite a few of the teams. We go to an invitational in Bloomington earlier in the year, and a lot of the teams are in that invitational. So we've seen a few of the teams, more than we had last year. So,
how about your role with the team, Marcy, as obviously the head coach? What is the main contributing factor you do for on a day-to-day basis as far as getting the team ready?
A lot of our practice here lately, we've been just working on our putting and chipping, because that's, other than their head game, the putting and chipping is huge. And so I try to get them a lot of practice with that. And then once we're out there playing, you know, if somebody does have a bad hole, I just try to keep them calm and keep them going. So,
how long have you been the coach there now, Marcy?
This is my third year as head coach, and I was assistant coach for Lorraine Gottenberg for 2 years before that.
Okay.
So it's my fifth year with the program.
Uh-huh. Did you ever envision yourself years ago being a head coach of golf? Is it something you aspired to, or just something that kind of worked out as you worked your way up?
I always kind of wanted to be a coach, but, you know, once I started teaching, I knew that once Lorraine was going to retire, that's something I really wanted to do, and to be able to make it this far 3 years in a row, I think is awesome.
Hmm. Do you get a chance to get out and play yourself very often?
I do. I hadn't quite as much this summer. I had a baby last summer, so I was kind of busy with that, but I do get out and play with the girls a little bit when we practice.
Do you have a favorite course that you like to play personally in the area?
No, I play mostly at Lake Bracken, so, and that's where our girls play all their meets. So that's where I play the most.
Yeah, and I understand Bracken, they were doing some work on the fairways or something this year, so you played a little bit more at Bunker Links with the girls, didn't you?
We did. We started our season at Bracken, and then they tore up the fairways, so we ended up having our home course be Bunker at the end of the year.
All right. Well, finally, here we are, like I said, getting ready for this sectional, and as you get set to think down the road, what do you think these girls, I mean, obviously shoot low scores, but do you think they've got a real good shot at going on to state and maybe placing there?
There's a lot of competition here on Monday, but I think if they continue to play like they have this week, that they definitely have a shot to make it to state and do well down there.
Mm-hmm. And how about some of the golfers coming up? Do you kind of keep an eye on some of those, even maybe before they become freshmen, or do you just take them as they come into the high school and work with them from there?
I've kind of been looking out for what's coming up. You know, this is only my third year doing it. I'm not really sure of anybody in the area that's going to be coming up next year, but in 2 years I know of three girls that play in all the tournaments and played decent, so I think they'll be a huge contributing factor to the team.
Mm-hmm. Finally, do you keep in touch with some of those that have graduated the last year or two and what they're doing now?
I have talked to Katerina Mangieri a little bit this year, and she's playing for Bradley University. So,
enjoying it?
Kind of exciting. Yes, she loves it.
That's great. Good to hear. Many times I know college athletes will go from high school to college, and they find it to be a little more like work and less fun, but it sounds like she's enjoying it then, huh?
Yes, she is.
That's great. So, all right, our time just about up. We need to turn our focus back to football here in a little bit as it's halftime of the Silver Streaks. And Marcy, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time, and best luck to the girls. And no matter what happens next Monday, congratulations on a great week and a terrific season.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Marcy Davis, she's the head golf coach for the Galesburg Girls, the Western Big Six and regional champions for the third straight year. And we'll have more Silver Streaks football halftime report coming up after this on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
There's one less trick-or-treating option this Halloween. The Galesburg High School Student Council says they will not be holding the annual Haunted High School this year, citing things like a growing childhood obesity rate and the fact that very few people brought canned goods as admission that were then delivered to local food pantries. So the Student Council says they'll use the $1,500 spent every year to put on the Haunted High School for, quote, ways more directly beneficial to the community at large. Relationships between parents and teachers weighs heavily, according to Children's Grief Camps. Doug Gibb, says when his agency provides grief counseling to children experiencing traumatizing events, the teacher is the first interviewed. He says many teachers are out of tune with a particular child's behavioral patterns. Because of a teach-first mentality, Gibb says the parent's willingness to communicate behavioral changes recognizable at home can prevent such ignorance. He says only bad comes of it when kids develop unhealthy behaviors or coping strategies for dealing with grief. I'm Kyle Schatzberger, Top Stories at Home, Top Stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. Modest job growth last month.
103,000 payroll slots were added in September, almost twice what economists had braced for. It was also too little to affect the unemployment rate, which stays at 9.1%. All of the gains came from the private sector, particularly construction, retail, temp firms, and health care.
Fox News Radio's Mike Makowitz. Jurors heard an audio recording of Michael Jackson's doctor, Conrad Murray, talking to police. The tape, made a few hours after Jackson's death, details events leading up to the singer's demise.
After more than 8 hours of failed attempts to get Jackson to sleep, the patient himself asked for some milk, which is what Jackson called the drug propofol. After giving it to Jackson, Murray said he stepped away for just a couple of minutes, then returned to find Jackson not breathing.
Fox's Lee Ross in Los Angeles. The trial resumes Tuesday. The Milwaukee Brewers beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 3-2. They now reach the National League Championship Series. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it
happens. It's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Hi, I'm Jim Bohannon. Listen to my show every weekday night from 9 till midnight on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
At Flynn Stadium, we are at halftime. The Galesburg Silver Streaks in a surprise leading the Quincy Blue Devils, and not only leading them, but shutting them out on senior night here at Flynn Stadium. 14-0, a Trevon Diggins touchdown run earlier in the game, a touchdown reception on fourth down as the Silver Streaks caught the Quincy defense napping, and then Diggins runs in the two-point conversion, the Silver Streaks leading 14-0. And we should update some other scores that we're watching. After five innings in Philadelphia, the Cardinals still hanging on to that 1-0 lead over Roy Halladay and the Phillies. Cardinals trying to get to the National League Central, National League Championship Series against their Central Division rivals, the Milwaukee Brewers, who defeated Arizona in extra innings earlier tonight, 3-2. Some high school football scores, Jim. A bit of a surprise in the Western Big Six.
Well, a high-scoring affair again up at Moline. They're just in the second quarter. Moline leading United Township 28-14 as those two teams trot up and down the field.
Wow.
And no shortage of points either in the Rock Island Alleman game. Alleman now coming back to lead Rock Island 20-13. That game is in the third quarter.
And an enjoyable halftime show here at Quincy as the Quincy Marching Band putting on a show of a selection of music from The Wizard of Oz, The Wiz, and Wicked, complete with characters in costume. And a really good-sounding band here tonight, a good show on their final home game of the season. The Quincy Blue Devils will be on the road at Rock Island and at Jerseyville, the final two games of the season. So they're enjoying the halftime show. They're enjoying the senior night ceremonies from earlier in the evening, but not enjoying the score at the half right now, with the Silver Streaks spoiling the ceremonies after two quarters of play, 14-0. Take a break here on the halftime show. When we come back, we'll get a word from the sidelines. We'll send Jim down, make sure our wireless microphone makes the connection from way up high in the press box here at Flynn Stadium down to field level as we talk it over with the Streaks. We're anxious to hear what they have to say after a defensively dominated first half, leading the Quincy Blue Devils 14-0 at the half. And United losing, huh?
Yeah. Anawan Weathersfield, third quarter, leads United 15-6. And a couple of old rivals meeting along I-80, Sterling and Geneseo, and Sterling leads that one 14-7 right now. Plus Mercer County on top of Stark County, 14-0 in that big battle.
Wow, there you go. So there's a few scores to update, but here the one we're most concerned about, 14-0 Galesburg. Still at halftime at Flynn Stadium. When we come back, a word from the Streaks coaching staff and a look at the first half statistics from Flynn Stadium in Quincy. Streaks football on WGIL, WGIL.com.
Breaking news. Local McDonald's have been reporting mysterious disappearances of their soda fountain machines. In their place, someone is leaving a single dollar bill. Where could all these soda fountains be going? The only clue is this mysterious sound.
They came for Earth's treasure and found it at McDonald's. Refresh your spirit with an any size fountain drink like an icy Dr. Pepper for just a dollar. While you still can. Prices and participation may vary. For a limited time, a la carte only.
WGIL supports our community, one event at a time.
Hi, this is Lori Plonk for WGIL. The New Life Fellowship Youth Group holds an Applebee's Flapjack Fundraiser Breakfast on Saturday, October 29th. It's 8 until 10 in Galesburg. Tickets are $5 per person. All proceeds go to the youth group's church camp. More details at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Halftime at Flynn Stadium. Galesburg Silver Streaks leading Quincy at the break, 14-0. Bottom of the sixth inning in Philadelphia now. Cardinals still leading the Phillies 1-0. Redbirds scored in the first inning before anybody was even out. Rafael Furcal led off the game with a triple. Skip Schumacher doubled him home. And that's where things stand in Philadelphia, with the Redbirds still on top there, 1-0. The halftime show is over. The teams are heading back out onto the field for second half warm-ups. Jim Lee is on his way down to talk with the Streaks coaching staff about this 14-0 lead. Let's take a look at the first half statistics. Not a whole lot of numbers to pass along. Neither team with even 100 yards rushing in the first half. It has been a defensive game, but the two touchdowns scored on the side of the Silver Streaks. Trevon Diggins, 5 carries for 13 yards. He has the only rushing touchdown of the night of 4 yards. John Mixon, the leading rusher for Galesburg tonight, 11 carries, 68 yards, a 25-yard run by Mixon on the Streaks' first scoring drive helped set up Diggins' touchdown run. Will Anderson has 3 carries for 6 yards. Cedric Washington, 4 carries for 8 yards. The only pass completion of the night by Will Anderson. He's 1-for-1, and the only completion to Trevon Diggins for a 29-yard touchdown on fourth down, and Diggins ran in the two-point conversion for a 14-0 lead. For the Quincy Blue Devils, 13 carries for 47 yards. The Streaks have held the Blue Devils to fewer than 50 yards on the ground tonight. Silver Streaks holding Malik Robbins to 5 carries and 21 yards on the ground. Mike Davis, 4 carries for 17 yards, and Jordan McGriff, 4 carries for just 9 yards. Jordan Zanger at the quarterback spot, 1-for-3 passing tonight. His only completion, a 10-yard reception to his twin brother, Jared, which was on third down, gave Quincy a new set of downs, but that's all they've been able to get. So 57 total yards of offense tonight for the Quincy Blue Devils as they set off fireworks. We had blue fireworks right before kickoff, and we've got a host of colors here at halftime. Still 2 minutes to go with the teams warming up in the field, and Jim Lee waiting for a word with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty, who's headed this way right now. Let's find out why. I would imagine a very excited head coach with a 14-0 lead.
All right, thanks, Brad. Coach, obviously the first half, terrific. After the first series, just or two, it seemed like you really turned things around. Offensively, you started to move the ball after you made that fourth down deep in your own territory. What happened?
Well, we got to finish this game. There's nothing that the kids are doing that have surprised me. We've just beaten ourselves at opportune times for the opponent. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. And fortunately, the kids are, you know, they just taking another step, and we got 24 minutes of football.
Did you make any defensive adjustments? They were running hard up the middle the first couple of series. You really shut them down since.
I'll tell you after the game.
Okay, great. That's all we get, Brad. Back to you.
All right, fair enough. Jim, thanks very much. And a brief word from head coach Tim Doherty, but as expected, a guy who's really fired up about the way things are going here, and the Silver Streaks leading 14-0 at the half. Sophomores lost by a final of 35-20. They are 2-5 on the season. Want to thank again one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, for providing our transportation to Quincy tonight. Jim Lee and I traveling in a 2010 Nissan Maxima. There's only 15 of these in stock. It's a certified pre-owned. These have either been used for rentals at Galesburg Nissan or one owner pre-owned. So lots of great deals, low mileage on pretty much all of them. The one we have tonight has only just over 10,000 miles on it, and great financing options available too with these certified pre-owns. At 48 months, you can get 1.9% financing. At 60 months, you can get 2.59% financing on all the pre-owned, including the 15 that are in stock at Galesburg Nissan. So lots of extra perks that go along with that. An 84-month, 100,000-mile limited warranty, trip interruption coverage, 24-hour emergency roadside customer assistance, and many, many other benefits. Check out all the folks at Galesburg Nissan. Talk to them down there. Find out more about the pre-owned benefits you can get, the certified pre-owned benefits, including with this 2010 Galesburg Nissan Maxima that we are traveling in tonight here at Quincy. Sixth inning at Philadelphia just ended. Still 1-0 Cardinals heading to the top of the seventh. And don't forget, here at Quincy, with the Streaks leading 14-0, Quincy elected to receive the ball on the opening kickoff, which means Galesburg gets the ball to start off the third quarter and a chance to build on a 2-touchdown lead. Coach is pretty fired up, even though he didn't have much to say, isn't he, Jim?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because he was going to come talk to me, and then he stopped and went over to a couple of players and grabbed their helmets, and I think to remind them, look, we're at halftime. Keep this up. And so we didn't have a lot of time, but, yeah, you can tell he's he said that it doesn't surprise him, but I think he's pretty excited about the possibilities of what's happened here.
And that reflects in the players as well. We saw some of the injured players who aren't in uniform or who aren't playing tonight who were going around the middle of that huddle, the middle of that warm-up circle, going around, talking to players, getting in their faces, trying to get them fired up. How big would it be if the Silver Streaks could score offensively to begin the third quarter and put Quincy in a 21-0 hole?
I'm not sure why I worked out today, because that's a haul going for that field up the stadium into the press box. That's a good workout.
He said it was a pretty high perch up here. Great view for us, but yeah, a long way to go.
The brand new field turf is wonderful. I mean, it is soft. You're like landing on a soft carpet down there. It's about as soft as I felt.
Well, Brandon White shows what he can do kicking the ball. It takes one bounce at the back end of the end zone and sails out. The wind is behind him a little bit. It's still more of a crosswind, but a little bit behind him, and the Silver Streaks will have it at the 20 to start off the third quarter.
You know, interestingly, like last week, the wind has gotten stronger as we've gotten deeper into the game. And we talked last week how unusual that is. Usually you'll have a little wind early and it'll die down. Tonight you look at the flags, and they're pretty well straight out here now as we open up this second half.
Galesburg 95 yards rushing in the first half. Only 47 for the Quincy Blue Devils. One pass play through the air, a 29-yard touchdown reception to Trevon Diggins. Out of the I formation with Jake Innes in motion for the Silver Streaks. First play of the second half, and the blitz is on. Handoff up the middle to Trevon, and he loses 1, maybe 2 yards on first down. Think this Quincy defense doesn't feel like it has something to prove starting the second half?
I don't think there's any question, and as you said, it'd be monumental if Galesburg could get out to a 3-touchdown lead. I think you'd really suck the life out of this Quincy team in a hurry, because you know they probably got laid out at halftime pretty well by Coach Rick Little, and we'll see if that pays any dividends for the Devils here. It's Galesburg backed up deep now at their own 18.
Second and 11. Hand off to the right side. John Mixon gets down low, dives forward to the 23. He'll pick up 4 on second down, and very quickly, the Streaks facing a 3rd and 7, opening up the second half. Galesburg 2 of 5 on third downs in the first half.
You noticed how well John wrapped that ball up, too. You know, in the brief time that we had with Coach Doherty, the thing that he mentioned was not making those mistakes. And the last thing you want to do here after you've played so well is make a turnover deep in your own territory and give Quincy a cheap one. So Streaks want to get the first down, but they're going to be pretty conservative about it.
Out of the eye, one wide out to the top of the field. Here comes the Quincy blitz again, the handoff up the middle. Offensive line moves the pile to the 25, close to the 26-yard line for John Mixon. He'll gain 3 more, and that'll bring up 4th and 4 for the Silver Streaks.
Punt unit will come on, unlike in the first quarter when we went for a 4th down in about the same territory, but that was 4th and 1 yard.
Well, that was after Quincy lined up in the neutral zone on 4th and 6,
right, gave it
to 4th and 1, and that prompted the Silver Streaks to go for it at that point. Again, Drew Carlson, the kicker, with Tyler Brackett out this week with a foot injury. A short snap, but it goes right into the midsection, and he muffs it off the right side of his foot, out of bounds at the Quincy sideline at the Galesburg 33-yard line. So that goes as a net of just 7. So Quincy had a 7-yard punt in the first half that gave Galesburg great field position, and the Silver Streaks turned that one eventually into a score. Let's hope the Silver Streaks defense can come up really big here.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether somebody got a hand on that. Of course, he's kicking into that wind. That can psych you out a little bit too. Whatever the case, Quincy with a great chance here to get on the board early in the second half.
And a new formation for the Blue Devils. They go with a handoff and a hard hit up the middle to Mike Davis. Looks like he got back to the line of scrimmage. They had 3 wideouts to the top of the field, the right side of the offensive line, but the handoff went to the single setback, Mike Davis, And he gets up to the 32. I don't know how he got a yard out of that.
Yeah, Zane Crowell and Derek Brackett among the two that blasted him right off the bat. And so this Quincy fullback who rumbled through us there in that first quarter a few times has not found too many spaces to run here as this game's gone along.
Five carries, 18 yards, same formation. Quick pass, a sideline route to the outside. Malik Robbins with the catch up to the 30-yard line, and then he stopped there, and the streaks pile on top of him, moving him backwards for a gain of two on the pass completion, and it'll be third and seven.
Well, again, in addition to the kids doing a real good job and not making mistakes tonight and playing with heart, you got to think this coaching staff really burned the midnight oil getting this game plan together, because they obviously have done their homework on Quincy, and this team has been more than well prepared to stop this team so far.
On the pass play, a gain of only a yard. So it'll be third and eight. Big for the Silver Streaks defense. With Quincy starting this drive in Streaks territory at the 33, it's third and eight from the Streaks 31. Back into the wing T formation. Again, a double handoff goes to the second man, Jordan McGriff.
Oh.
Tries to get to the outside to the 20, to the 10. He's going to take it. Touchdown. Quincy on the board for the first time tonight. 8:51 to go, third quarter.
They tried that in the first half and ended up fumbling it. That time, no fumble, and they disguised it well. And once McGriff was able to turn that corner, he was gone. He's got that kind of speed. And Quincy pulls a little momentum back and gets on the scoreboard for the first time tonight.
Only their second third down conversion of the night. 3 minutes, 9 seconds into the third quarter. That scoring drive took only a minute and 17 seconds, aided largely by the Galesburg bad punt that started Quincy in Galesburg territory. The extra point is good. 14-7, Galesburg now leads by a touchdown. 8:51 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock, with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
All across Illinois, more than 20,000 people volunteer their time and talents to help make the best better. This is Kelsey Litchfield of the Rio Livestock 4-H Club, with a special thank you to all of our local 4-H leaders who make a difference in the 4-H members' lives every day. To learn how you can get involved in 4-H, call or stop by the University of Illinois Extension office in the Knox County Agri Center in Galesburg.
I'm WGIL News Director Will Stevenson. News tips, story ideas, comments, questions, we welcome them all. Email us anytime, news@WGIL.com.
Kickoff by the Quincy Blue Devils goes deep into the Galesburg end zone again, and the Silver Streaks will have it at their own 20. 8:51 to go, third quarter. We're just underway in the second half. Quincy, three plays, 33 yards, and a minute 17 off the clock. McGriff's 31-yard touchdown run cuts the Silver Streaks' lead in half. It's 14-7, and the Streaks need to put together something here. They went three plays and out on their first offensive possession of the second half. Handoff up the middle. John Mixon tucks the ball in, gains two, running right across tackle up to the 22. Runs into a pile of Quincy Blue Devil blue jerseys, and it'll be second and eight.
And mixing it up there on the ground with number 70, Wes Irvin. And the officials had to blow the whistle several times. They didn't throw any flags. Tell you what, the kicker for Quincy, Brandon White, used that wind to his advantage again. He got that thing up in that breeze, and, of course, he got a strong leg anyway. And that ball hit, I think, almost hit the back white line just below the goalpost on the kickoff. No chance for Galesburg to return.
Out of the eye, Innes in motion. Anderson under center. Here come the linebackers creeping up. Handoff to Trevon Diggins, hitting the backfield, then scoots through a hole up to the 23-yard line. He picks up a yard more. It'll be third and seven as Diggins almost got taken down for a loss but made something out of that. Hung on to the ball. Streaks third and seven from their own 23. Seventh inning stretch in Philadelphia. Still 1-0 Cardinals heading to the bottom of the seventh.
Well, things were great at halftime here. The Streaks were up 14-0. The Cardinals were ahead 1-0. Let's hope we don't look back on that as the best of times when this night is over, as Gelsberg being challenged now with the ball second or third and seven.
2 for 6 on third downs tonight. 2 wideouts to each side of the field. Empty backfield. Swing pass to the near side. It's intercepted. Ethan Rockhold downfield at the goal line. But he's dragged down just short. Will Anderson with a touchdown saving stop. But he's inside the 1 yard line. First and goal, Quincy.
Well, that's the dilemma when you get deep in your own territory. Do you want to be real conservative, which we were for a while, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to punt it again. So you go to the air there, and then bad things can happen, and they certainly did, as Quincy is about it. Well, they're going to mark it right at the one. They're 1 yard away from potentially tying this game.
Well, and I guess if there's any good news out of the deal, it would be just a tie. See if the Silver Streaks defense can create a turnover. Blue Devils did fumble once earlier, but they regained it. Jordan Zanger brings the team set. Hand off to the right side. The Quincy Blue Devils are signaling touchdown. The officials are going to unpile it. And there it is, touchdown. Quincy within 1 point of a tie game. Michael Davis with a touchdown run. He had only a yard to go. And Quincy, in less than 5 minutes of the third quarter, has now tied the game. Well, is 1 point away from tying the game on just 4 offensive plays in the third quarter. 7:07 to play and a long way to go. The kick is high and plenty deep, and we're tied at 14. 7:07 to go, third quarter. It's a new ball game, 14-14, Galesburg and Quincy. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Bit of a delay here at Quincy. Is that a flag down there,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, and at the feet of the kicker, who is still down, Brandon White. So apparently the Streaks ran into the kicker. And
this will be assessed on the kickoff, not that it matters.
No, I mean, he's already kicking it to the back of the end zone. Of course, now that he's a little gimpy, if he kicks off again, he might need that extra 15 yards. But looks like he's going to stay in there. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. You know, we talked with Coach Doherty there at halftime. He said, well, we're not making mistakes. Well, we've made 2 mistakes, 2 touchdowns. A muff punt gave him short field to work with at the 33, and then an interception put him at the 1, and Quincy responded with 2 quick scores, and now it's anybody's ball game at 14-all.
And up to the Silver Streaks. Try to keep in mind this is still a young, inexperienced team. Hardly any varsity experience coming back into this season. Coach Jim Doherty has talked over and over again about football sense, playing smart football, understanding game situations and understanding what to do with the ball, making good decisions, not hurting themselves. And here in the third quarter, we've seen some of those ugly things rear their heads again as Quincy takes a long time here. Referee talking with head coach Rick Little of the Blue Devils, and now one of the officials comes over to kind of clarify some things here. The 15 yards would be assessed on the mark of the kickoff after the roughing the kicker penalty on the extra point. And again, not that it will matter, as Brandon White can kick him as far and as long as anybody we've seen all season long.
Well, we've seen some kickers too.
We have.
Morton had a big leg kicker, Peoria Central.
Drew Carlson is place kicking. He can light into some. So the ball sits at the Galesburg 45-yard line. Cedric Washington and Trevon Diggins standing at the one-yard line. Now they get set. I don't think there's any way that they're going to have any chance to return this one, especially with the wind at White's back. And there it goes. And that one does land about 2 yards outside the back of the end zone. He could let up on that one and still kick it through the end zone. All right, 7:07 to go, third quarter. It's a new ball game. Quincy has scored twice in less than 5 minutes of the third quarter. We're tied at 14. Galesburg trying to make a winner of Eldon Grover of Altona in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. If the Streaks can score a touchdown in this third quarter, Eldon Grover of Altona wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. At their own 20-yard line, Streaks need to compose themselves. Out of the eye, handoff straight up the middle. Here whistles as the handoff goes to John Mixon, the up man. He works his way close to the 24-yard line. Let's see what the whistles are all about. They've already marked the down marker, moved up to the 20, inside the 23-yard line. And some discussion by the officials. I don't see a flag down anywhere. Yeah, so the play stands, apparently. So after some discussion, give John Mixon a gain of 3, 2nd and 7 for the Silver Streaks at their own 23-yard line. Silver Streaks reeling a bit here. Up the middle we go, across the 25 for a gain of 20, up to the 26 for a gain of 3 more for Mixon. And it'll be 3rd and 4. Silver Streaks desperately need a first down here. Keep that Quincy offense off the field.
Well, and working still for the most part against the wind, even though it is a bit of a cross, it's still probably more against it than with it. It'd be nice just to get through this third quarter still tied. And although we scored both of our touchdowns, I guess, going toward that other end zone, but we were a lot better field position at that time.
Out of the eye, and now whistles do fly. Late flags come flying in from the back judge. We got a little extracurricular activity on the Galesburg side as Manny Valdez throws down a Quincy player after the whistle. Some of the Quincy players come running in and get their teammate away from that. Here comes the referee to signal, probably a false start against Galesburg, and it is. That's their first penalty outside of the roughing the kicker, the penalty. It's their first sort of game action penalty of the night. So that'll go from 3rd and 4 now to 3rd and 9, and another untimely penalty. Especially when they're trying to get a first down here. As Jim said, moving into that wind, trying to right themselves after a Quincy fast start here in the third quarter has tied the game. 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, tied at 14. Jake Innes splits out wide to the top of the field. Two Silver Streaks, slot right. Trevon Diggins and Derek Armstrong. John Mixon, the lone setback. Anderson rolling to his right. Throws downfield. Is it caught? Looks like the Quincy defense thinks they got a hand in there and knocked it loose. We were shielded up here by all the players on the sideline. It looks like Trevon did not make the catch, and it falls incomplete for fourth down. He was in first down territory, close to the 35-yard line, but now the Streaks have to punt it into the wind.
And the Streaks will drop back to kick again. Drew Carlson injured for the injured Tyler Brackett. And, boy, he's going to have his heels on his own 6-yard line when he kicks this one.
And for the Blue Devils, Malik Robinson, Jordan McGriff. Oh, and here's a bad snap over the head of Carlson, out the back of the end zone. It's a safety, and the Quincy Blue Devils have taken the lead with 5:14 to go in the third quarter.
You know, it's interesting. We play a first half with no mistakes, and in the third quarter, all we've done is make mistakes, and Quincy takes the lead, and maybe for good. If we don't right the ship here in a hurry, they're going to get the ball back on a free kick, and the Blue Devils are fired up in front of this home crowd now on senior night.
Through 7 innings in Philadelphia, the Cardinals go to the 8th, still leading the Phillies 1-0. Cardinals have 5 hits. Chris Carpenter limiting the Phillies to just 3 hits, and the Redbirds 6 outs away from advancing to the National League Championship Series against the Milwaukee Brewers.
It'll be a hard 6 outs to get, but with Carpenter on the mound, can't imagine I don't know. Maybe, like you said, maybe Jason Mott if they had to go to the bullpen late, but I think it's probably Carpenter's game to win or lose at this point.
Well, Raul Abanez just made the last out in the seventh, so Carpenter working his way towards the bottom of the Phillies' order. But he'll be facing the top of the order by the time they get to the ninth if he works a clean eighth inning. Streaks go with a kickoff. Drew Carlson with a low line drive to the far side of the field, taken at the 39. And here's the run back upfield by Jordan Osborne into Galesburg territory. Out, stopped at the 41-yard line. And the Blue Devils in Streaks territory again in the third quarter with 5:06 to play in the third quarter. Remember last year, Jim, the Streaks got off to a tremendous start against Quincy, leading 20.
It made it look easy for a while, didn't
20
they?
To nothing, I think, wasn't it, at halftime?
Yep.
And then the Quincy Blue Devils in the second half, just like they're doing here tonight. But the Streaks did hang on and win
that one
by
yep.
three.
But, yeah, it was amazing because we made it look so easy in the first half of that one. We thought it was going to be a complete blowout last year, and then it turned around.
Mike Davis on the carry from the Galesburg 41, straight up the middle down to the 36-yard line. Davis picks up a quick five. It'll be second and five. As we're under 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Quincy now leading two offensive touchdowns and a safety. It's 16-14, and as Jim mentioned, nothing but Galesburg mistakes here in the third quarter that has allowed the Blue Devils to take the lead here tonight. Streaks dominated, especially defensively, through the first two quarters, holding the Blue Devils to just 47 yards of offense on the ground. Handoff goes to the left side. McGriff through a hole down the sideline, wrapped up on the top by Trevon Diggins, and a flag comes in as Trevon's going to get called for a late hit, riding McGriff down out of bounds at the 17-yard line.
Can't say I agree with that one.
No, I got a problem with that one.
I mean, McGriff is one of those, he's so fast, you can't just go over there and give him a tap out of bounds. He might take it all the way. Trevon, yeah, he slammed him down, but he grabbed him in the field of play. I thought that was pretty unnecessary flag in that case, but it's just kind of the way things are going right now for these Silver Streaks, and now we've got an injured player down.
And we've got some discussion going on by the official, so might we possibly have an overrule here? They're calling out Quincy coach Rick Little to talk it over. The injured Galesburg player on the field, I think, is Dylan Hovind. And they do call the personal foul against the Silver Streak, so that's going to tack on.
15.
Well, it'll be half the distance.
Well, that's right.
It's at the 17.
22. Yeah.
Oh, did they say he was out at the 22? I thought he was out at the 17.
Well, the officials got the mark over here on the side at the 22. Now, maybe he's just standing there. I thought maybe he was.
The flag's down at the 17, though. And Coach Jim Torrity is out talking things over with the referee, I think making exactly the point that we're thinking up here in the press box. He's just making the tackle. He made the hit in the field of play and then just kind of rode him out of bounds. It is Hovind who is up and off the field, walking under his own power, slowly. Well, now there's a flag sitting back at the 22. So there was a flag at the 22. That maybe I couldn't see from up here, but there was definitely one down at the 17.
Well, so important here to find a way to keep these guys out of the end zone. Personal foul, yeah, on the Streaks. And with the safety, we're already down two. If we go down more than one score, it's going to be awful tough. No better than our offense puts yards together. So we'd love to see some sort of a defensive stand here, get a turnover, hold them to a field goal, something.
Down to the Galesburg 11. Well, won't be a field goal. Here's a touchdown run. Trevon Diggins made the late hit. Now we've got a couple of Silver Streaks in the middle of something, but they'll walk away from it. Malik Robbins runs it in from 11 yards out, and the Blue Devils had no fun in the first half on their senior night, but they're having some fun now, leading 22-14 with 4:18 to go.
Scored every time they've touched the ball, and once when they didn't on a safety. And the wheels have really fallen off in the third quarter for the Silver Streaks.
Just a three-play scoring drive, finished off by sophomore Malik Robbins' first touchdown run of the night. Is there any doubt about what will happen here on the extra point? More than enough distance and between the uprights as well. Quincy by 9, 4:18 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
Are you sure it's okay to bring this grill up to the stands?
Relax. Have another shish kebab.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Will you scoot over? I can't reach the fondue.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Sports stories, sports scores, and more. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
Three plays, 41 yards. The Quincy Blue Devils take only 48 seconds off the clock. And with 4:18 to go in the third quarter, the Blue Devils have scored three offensive touchdowns and have a safety. And a 14-0 Galesburg lead at the half is long gone. Blue Devils now lead by 9. And the kickoff coming by Brandon White with the wind behind him. And watch for this one to go deep, sending Trevon Diggins back to the sideline and 2 yards deep into the end zone. Another touchback. Streaks have it at their own 20 with 4:18 to go third quarter. Still trying to make a winner of Eldon Grover of Altona in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest.
Well, and unless the offense finds a way to make some yards, we're going to play the whole second half deep in our own territory. Because when Quincy gets the ball, they have a short field to work with. Their kicker's going to knock it through the end zone every single time. And so until we're able to stand up and make some first downs here and at least start to win the field position battle a little bit, we have no chance.
Cardinals with runners at second and third with one out in the eighth inning after a John Jay sacrifice bunt brings up Albert Pujols. You know they'll walk him and load the bases. Hand off on a delay to John Mixon, and he gets stuffed. That was a very slowly developing play. By the time Anderson handed off to Mixon, he had no chance, and he loses a yard. So the Cardinals with bases loaded in the eighth inning, still leading the Phillies 1-0. Under 4 minutes to go, third quarter here. Silver Streaks reeling from 23 straight points by the Quincy Blue Devils and a loss of a yard on first down. Well, actually, they're going to put it right back at the line of scrimmage. So no gain on first down for John Mixon. Second and 10. Out of the eye. With one in the slot, that's Jake Innes. One to the top of the field is Derek Armstrong. Hand off to the outside. Mixon gets down low across left tackle. He picks up a yard to the 21 before he's brought down there. Third down and 9 for the Silver Streaks.
Now they periodically announce the Cardinals score here, and the Quincy faithful always give a cheer when they hear the Cardinals are ahead. Right now, as you said, Brad, they have a golden opportunity to stretch their lead with Lance Berkman at the plate and the bases loaded with one out in the eighth inning.
Streaks with 16 yards of offense and a turnover in the second half. Trail by 9. Third and 9 here. Single setback. The handoff to Trevon Diggins. Tried to get to the outside, then he cut back to the middle, and he had nowhere to run. The defense swarms around him for a loss of a yard, and it brings up 4th and 10.
Roy Halladay showing why he's good. Struck out Lance Berkman. Matt Halladay with two outs now to bat with the bases loaded in the 8th for the Cardinals.
Lots of ways to get home from third base. Cardinals will take any one of those possibilities if they can get it right here.
Well, if Carlos Marmol was on the mound, you'd have a pretty good shot.
Drew Carlson back to punt. Needs to get one away, unlike the last shank he had. Better snap, a low one. Carlson takes it at the ankles, and it's received at the Galesburg 47 by Malik Robbins. There's a flag down from the near side, likely against the Blue Devils, as Robbins returns it to the Galesburg 41. 2:04 to go third quarter. Quincy leading 23-14.
Yeah, this flag likely to force Quincy to start in their own territory for the first time in the half. Haven't seen an indication yet, but pretty unusual on a punt return that you get a penalty on the kicking team. Oh, we did. Face mask. Gee whiz. If it weren't for bad luck, we'd have no luck at all. But I guess it's not luck. We're just making a lot of mistakes out there in this third quarter. An
incidental face mask, so it goes as just 5 yards. But now that puts Galesburg, or Quincy rather, down to the Galesburg 36-yard line. The Silver Streaks had no penalties in the first half. They have four in the second half for 31 yards to go along with an interception that was returned to the one. Handoff goes to the right side. Mike Davis with a handoff. Down to the 32 for a gain of four. It'll be second and six. Under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Quincy leading 23-14.
Well, it seems like Zanger, their quarterback, seems to be a lot more confident in this half as well and what he's doing out there. You might remember that Mitch Merrill was their quarterback for several years. In fact, I think from the time he was a sophomore on, did a real nice job for Quincy, and so it's been tough to replace him.
Handoff goes to the right side, trying to get to the outside. Malik Robbins, the Streaks defense, pursues and brings him down short of the 30-yard line, down to the 31. Robbins looked like he was going to run for a bit, but the Streaks did a nice job to contain him, force him to cut up the middle. He picks up, they're going to give him just a yard. Thought he might have gotten two, just a yard. Good job by the Streaks defense. It'll be third and six. Jim, you're shaking your head. That's not good for the Cardinals.
No, fly out to left field, so the Cardinals miss a great chance to add to their lead. They go to the bottom of the eighth with that precarious one-run lead in Philadelphia.
I'm sure it's very quiet.
Yeah, right.
At First Bank Stadium right now. Is that right, First Bank? That's not right, is it?
Citizens Bank.
Citizens Bank, thank you. I knew that didn't sound right. As soon as the words came out of my mouth, that's not right.
What's that Clark Howard calls all those the monster megas?
Yeah.
Giant monster megas.
All right, 46 seconds to go third quarter here. We got a timeout on the field as the officials get some things squared away, and now the clock rolls. 40 seconds to go. Quincy with a third and six from the Galesburg 32-yard line. Probably within field goal territory, but they want more. It's been a big third quarter for the Quincy Blue Devils, trying to add to a nine-point lead on third and six. Hand off to the second man through, trying to get to the outside. McGriff under pursuit, escapes one tackle, now steps back toward the middle, falls down at the 25-yard line. He slaps the ball in his hands, but that's enough for a first down. Are they going to say he was out of bounds? Was he out of bounds before that? Were they going to mark the ball?
Maybe around the 28, so a yard and a half shy, it looks like. And you're right, they've got the kicker that could probably make that, but on that short of yardage, I would guess they'll just go for it. A kick can be a little risky at times. You get that blocked and returned, and then you look kind of silly, so I would think they probably will go ahead and just go for it.
20.7 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. Quincy did not convert a fourth down on its only attempt back in the second quarter. They line up to go for it on fourth and two here. From the Silver Streak, 28-yard line, need to get to the 25. One man in motion, handoff to the first man through a dive play straight up the middle for Robbins. He'll be close to the first down, but I think he got it.
Yeah, boy, it'll be just by maybe a foot or two, but it looks like he fell forward just enough for that thing.
Looks like the ball's inside 26. First down marker on the far side of the field is at the 26. They don't even measure it. First down for the Quincy Blue Devils. And with 17 seconds to go, a new set of downs inside the Galesburg 26-yard line.
Yeah, at least these officials will look over and make that determination. I've seen officials where it's the same situation. They bring the chains in. Well, it's like you said, if the stick's on one side of the line on the other side and the ball's on this side, it's not going to change because you bring the sticks out. But I've been down there on the sideline sometimes where officials will do that three or four times in a game when it's pretty obvious.
Triple set backfield handoff. Goes to the right side, a little bit of a delay. Now Davis trying to work his way back toward the middle to the 25, inside down to the 24-yard line. And mercifully for the Silver Streaks, the end of a disastrous third quarter in which the Quincy Blue Devils score 23 points, three offensive touchdowns and a safety, and now lead the Silver Streaks 23-14 heading to the fourth quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fourth quarter coming up. Quincy Blue Devils face a 2nd and 8 from the Galesburg 24-yard line. Long discussion by Coach Tim Doherty with two of the officials during this quarter break between the third and the fourth period. Again, a reminder, the Galesburg High School Key Club is hosting a food drive for Fish Food Pantry during the final home football game of the season coming up next Friday when the Moline Maroons come to Van Dyke Field. If you head out to the game, you can make either a food or a monetary donation. And in addition to the Fish Food Pantry food drive, the GHS Student Council will be partnering with Key Club, and there will be a costume contest for elementary school-aged children who agree to bring 3 non-perishable or canned items to the game. Berkey's Farm Store is donating a trailer to fill with the food items. First play in the fourth quarter. Handoff goes to the right side, still on his feet. Now down the far sideline, Malik Robbins. He escaped 3 tackles, and he takes it up the Quincy sideline for a 24-yard touchdown run. 29-14 Blue Devils.
You know, I was just looking at some of the other scores in the Western Big Six, and almost a carbon copy of this game going on up at Rock Island, where the Rocks jumped out to a 13-0 first quarter lead on Olivan. Ever since, it's been all Pioneers. They lead 34-13 now.
Wow. Moline last led UT 28-14, last we heard.
31-14 now.
Okay.
And that one still in the third quarter.
6 plays, 36 yards, now kicking into the wind. No problem for Brandon White. The extra point is good, and it's now 30-13, Quincy. 6 plays, 36 yards. They take 2 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock. Malik Robbins with a 24-yard touchdown run, his 2nd of the night, to go along with 1 for Jordan McGriff and 1 for Mike Davis. Throw a safety on top of it, and the Quincy Blue Devils now lead the Silver Streaks 30-14.
Orion about to get their first loss of the season.
Wow.
Down to Mendota 27-15.
Mendota was 5-1, I think, heading into that game, if I remember.
Rockridge burying Sherrard tonight. Let's see what else we can come up with. United lost to Anawan Weathersfield 21-14.
Wow. Tough loss for the Red Storm, who fall to 5-2 on the year. .11:51 to go in the game here. The Streaks now trail by 16 points after leading by 2 touchdowns at halftime. Brandon White will now kick into the wind with the ball resting on his own 40-yard line. Cedric Washington and Trevon Diggins standing at the goal line, and the wind blows the ball off the tee. They are hopeful for a return opportunity. Brandon White spins the ball up into the air, catches it, bends down, taps it to the ground, now tees it up on the tee. Works his way back, standing at the 31. 9 seconds into the fourth quarter. Streaks need a score to get back into this game. The long kick booming into the wind, and 2/3 of the way deep into the end zone. The Streaks, no chance to return it, take over at their own 20.
All right, well, so much for the hope that the wind would slow down the Quincy kicker. Might have dropped a yard or two out of it, but not much, as the Devils putting the hammer down here to run away with this. Cardinals, let's see, 2 outs in the 8th with 1 on. Nope, 8th inning is over, and they're still ahead 1-0. They got Jimmy Rollins lined out to the pitcher. Hope it didn't hurt him.
So heading to the 9th inning, 1-0 to go to the National League Championship Series. Cardinals on top. Could you ask for a better game in a situation like that? Handoff to Trevon Diggins. The ball pops free at the end. I never heard a whistle. I heard cowbells from the Quincy faithful down below us here on the home sidelines. But I think the play was blown dead. The officials sure aren't acting too excited about the whole thing. Players got fired up when they saw that ball pop loose, but Diggins apparently gained a yard and then was stopped there with his forward progress.
Yeah, the football team must have got fired up by the band. That was probably the finest halftime performance I've ever seen by a high school band. They sounded so crisp. Their brass was incredible, especially coming up here into the stands, the whole Wizard of Oz thing. Man, that was that. I don't usually talk about the band, but that was an incredible halftime show.
And off to the left side. Silver Streak's trying to make something happen with a little different look as the handoff went to Matt Kitch. He's back into the game offensively after sitting down. And now a late flag comes in. I think this is a flag on Coach Rick Little from the Quincy sideline. The line judge was standing there not far away from him. And now Little's down on one knee with his arms out to the side. The officials are conferring. There wasn't anybody anywhere near the officials except for Quincy coach Rick Little when that flag went down. So this has got to be unsportsmanlike conduct by the Quincy sideline after the streak. How are they going to spot that ball anyway? Did Kitch gain anything?
I think Coach Little was pointing like they'd recovered a fumble. I didn't see it hit the ground, but we're a long ways away, so I'm not sure what happened.
A personal foul face mask against the Quincy Blue Devils was the call. Now the referee looks over to Coach Rick Little and makes the face mask signal again. So Galesburg, after a gain of a yard by Kitch on the carry, is going to pick up 15 and a first down. So Quincy with its first penalty since the first half.
There were a number of games running late tonight. Apparently we weren't the only ones. A lot of senior nights, I'm sure.
That's so just what I was going to say. That'll do it.
Yeah, homecoming is a lot quicker process than senior night when you come to a 7A school.
Yeah, a lot of those kids tonight weren't even the football players. All right, new set of downs for the Silver Streaks after a first down on the penalty. Handoff goes to the right side. Trevon Diggins to the outside. Up the far sideline in Quincy territory. Run down inside the 35, down to the 33-yard line. Big run by Trevon Diggins. From the Galesburg 36, he picks up 31 on his longest run of the night. And the Streaks get a penalty. First down by penalty. Now one of their longest runs of the night. Down to the Quincy 33-yard line. 10:43 to go in the game. Streaks trailing 30-14.
You can kind of feel the little bit of the... You can't keep sky high the whole half, and I think Quincy now, after scoring 30 unanswered points, fans and the team alike settling in a little bit, and the Streaks hoping to take advantage.
Now a run down to the 20-yard line. Another first down by the Silver Streaks as Galesburg brings the team to the set, and then a very quick handoff two times in a row gives Galesburg a couple of quick gains. John Mixon for a gain of 13. He's got 97 yards rushing now, and the Silver Streaks down to the Quincy 20. Jake Innes, the lone wide out to the near side. Streaks bunching up at the line of scrimmage with two tight ends. Under 10.5 minutes to play in the game. Handoff up the middle. Running to the line of scrimmage. Trevon Diggins stops. And when he does that, the Blue Devil jerseys converge. And they're going to give Trevon forward progress to the line of scrimmage. Apparently they will. No gain. That might be generous. Now the officials stop the clock. Another conference. I don't see any flags down. 10:07 is where the clock stops, with the Blue Devils leading 30-14. They have scored 30 straight points, four touchdowns, and a safety. So the officials stop the clock to allow Dakota Downs of the Quincy Blue Devils to get up the field. They will mark Diggins back a yard. So second and 11 for the Silver Streaks from the Quincy 21.
Been a little while since we did a game that, well, did we have one earlier this year that lasted into the 10 o'clock hour? I think maybe we did one. The Kelly game went fast. Maybe it was the Morton game. Yeah, that's the one we didn't kick off till 8 o'clock because Coach Doherty wasn't very happy.
Yeah. And then that Rock Island game started to run pretty long last week with all the touchdowns being scored. Pretty late when we got out of there, but at least we were at home. Still top of the ninth in Philadelphia. Cardinals hanging on to a 1-0 lead. Here it's second and 11. Anderson with a keeper. Here come three jerseys to wrap him up for the sack. Back at the 23-yard line. And Anderson, credit to him for hanging on to the ball.
Well, four down territory. So we'll try it twice here, but on third and 13. You know, it shows you the difference, obviously, in what defenses will let you do. That, you know, Chicago-Kelly game, the first game of the year, we were throwing a lot of swing passes and, you know. And we really don't even, we don't seem to even try that much anymore. But if the defense isn't going to allow you to do it, you've got to have a little time to run the play.
Second and 13, handoff up the middle. Trevon Diggins getting down low across the 20 to the 19-yard line. Not much. So they're going to stop him right at the 20-yard line and then push backwards. A gain of three, it'll be fourth and 10 from the Quincy 20. Silver Streaks trying to make a winner of Bob Pelton of Watauga in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest. Under 9 minutes to play in the game. Quincy leading 30-14. All of Galesburg's points in the second quarter. All of Quincy's points in the third quarter, except for the touchdown they got 9 seconds into the fourth quarter. And the Silver Streaks call timeout. Let's take a timeout as well. 8:40 to go in the game. 30-14 Blue Devils. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Breed Loves is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breed Loves Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and Letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breed Loves Sporting Goods.
Nobody covers Galesburg like WGIL.
They can't do that.
Roy Holiday out of the game for the Phillies. Ryan Madsen pitching in the ninth inning. Cardinals still leading 1-0. As Jim and I try to translate exactly what's going on here. For calm, must not have batted leadoff. Well, he did that leadoff.
Yeah,
because he tripled to start the game. So if he's on deck and Punto's at the bat, but Punto's 1-for-3, surely they didn't take Carpenter out of the game. Fourth and 10 from the 20. Back to pass, Anderson. Swing pass down the far side of the field. It's intercepted at the 4. Maybe some room to run for the Quincy Blue Devils downfield. Here comes Jordan Sanger, still on his feet. Inside the Galesburg 40 and finally run down inside the 30. Down to the 27-yard line. Actually, they're going to return it all the way to the 24 before he's finally stopped and run out of bounds. And with 8:24 to go in the game, almost a run back from the interception at the Quincy 3 down to the Galesburg 24 on Will Anderson's second interception of the night.
Yeah, the Quincy faithful didn't get to clang their cowbells much in that first half, but they're making up for it here in the second. They may have to buy new clangers because they've worn those babies out. A lot to cheer about for Quincy as they have taken advantage of numerous Silver Streak second-half miscues.
First time tonight the Silver Streaks did not convert on fourth down. 8:24 to go in the game. And the Blue Devils, for the fourth time in this second half, start a drive in Galesburg territory. Handoff up the middle on a bit of a delay. Handoff goes to Mike Davis. Looks like the ball might have popped loose. There's a scramble for it on the field. Lots of white jerseys and blue jerseys prone on the ground as the officials trying to get in there and unpile this mess. Quincy put it on the ground earlier but recovered their own fumble. Now some of the Blue Devil jerseys starting to point their own direction as if they did hang on to it, and it looks like they did. So after the fumble and the Quincy recovery, they maintained possession just inside the Galesburg 24, second down and 10. So no gain on first down, second down from the Galesburg 24, under 8 minutes to go in the game, Quincy leading by 16. Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL. Illinois trying to become bowl eligible. Goes 6-0 in the season. First road game at Indiana. Hand off to the second man through a bit of a delay. Nice stop by the Streaks defense and a push backwards to the 25-yard line. Looks like forward progress to the 23 for a gain of a yard. And it'll be 3rd and 9 upcoming after a gain of a yard by Malik Robbins. 10 carries, 60 yards tonight.
And a reminder, if you usually plan your Sunday around when the Bears play, you don't have to worry about that this time around. They play the Lions Monday night. We'll have that game on 92.7 FM, the Laser, as we will all season long for the Bears and Lions on Monday Night Football.
Kind of fun to have that game mean something for the first time in quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lions are... weeks.
Third and nine from the Gillsburg 23-yard line, and now a timeout called by the Blue Devils. Coach Rick Little didn't like something he saw offensively or defensively by the Silver Streaks. 6:49 to go in the game. Cardinals through the ninth, through their half of the ninth now, right?
Chris Carpenter still pitching. Chase Utley to lead off for Philadelphia. Three more outs gives the Cardinals the series win, but I'll tell you, three tough outs. How about Utley and Howard
and Victorino,
yeah,
I guess?
You're right, yeah.
That's the way it's been so far through the first four games. Wow. Tension at all there.
Well, hopefully the I'm a little nervous myself, and I'm just looking at the droid here. So, well, hopefully since the Silver Streaks didn't hold on, at least the Cardinals will. But one out.
Now, do we know yet? The American League Championship Series starts Sunday, I presume?
No, it's tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the NLCS will be Sunday then?
I would assume that's what they'll do, yes. Yeah, that'd be pretty tough to make them turn around and figure out where they're going and fly to Milwaukee tomorrow.
Well, I knew they wouldn't play tomorrow, but I didn't know if the ALCS was going to take off one more or not. All right, third and nine for the Quincy Blue Devils from the Gillsburg 23. Handoff up the middle. Uh-oh, running room, and finally a hard hit from behind and thrown down Malik Robbins with the carry and a big stop by the Silver Streaks, but not until he gets first and goal territory down to the six. And a big third down conversion to gain a 17.
Hunter Pence grounds to third. The Cardinals are one out away from winning that game. Wow.
Oh, boy. And Ryan Howard at the plate. Under 6.5 minutes to go in the game. Quincy trying to add to a 16-point lead. Hand off to the left side. Inside the five, down to the four, and the Silver Streaks stopped the run there after the handoff to Mike Davis, a gain of two. Don't even watch the football game, Jim, right now. I just want to know what's going on with the Redbirds.
Hey, the Streaks got a fumble.
Oh, well, that was kind of late developing, it seemed like. But the Silver Streaks will take it. Down 16, even though they're deep in their own territory. And they'll have it at their own 3-yard line with 6:10 to go in the game. So never saw the ball pop out. Quincy's fumbled the ball three times tonight. That's the first one that they've lost, though. And the Silver Streaks take over with 6:10 to go in the game. Trailing 30-14, ball at their own three.
Chris Carpenter one pitch away from maybe the most impressive outing he's ever had. On the big stage at Philadelphia, deciding game. One strike to get.
Well, there was just a roar from the Quincy crowd. Does that mean it's over?
Well, I'm not seeing it yet here.
There is a bit of a delay oftentimes on this. If this thing's over, that means he went three up, three down in the ninth inning and finished off a three-hitter.
It's over.
I'll be darned. What a game. 1-0 Cardinals between Chris Carpenter and Roy Holiday. They get the first two runners on in the game.
A triple and a double. That's
and that's it.
Well, Tony,
how about that?
Tony La Russa said, if you heard it this morning here on WGIL, he said he's just looking forward to watching them pitch. I mean, he was as much a fan as a manager at that point, and he got his wish, and he got his wish in the way it turned out, too. What an incredible, incredible performance by a guy that, you know, sometimes down the stretch this season, some had thought his best days were way behind him, Chris Carpenter.
He was 1-7 at one point in this season.
Pitched the clincher over the Astros, mowed them down.
A two-hitter that night.
Yeah.
But a three-hitter over the Phillies compared to a two-hitter over the Astros.
Yes, that's a whole different level
there. In Philadelphia, no less. Gain of four on first down for the Silver Streaks up to the seven. So we will have Fighting Illini football tomorrow, Cardinals baseball Sunday, Bears football Monday, and the fun continues. What a game by Chris Carpenter. A three-hit shutout, three up, three down in the ninth inning facing the heart of the Phillies order.
So is this going to be 2006 repeated?
Well, I don't know. That was a year the Cardinals had a big lead and almost choked it away at the end. They were playing their worst baseball at the end of the season. This year, the miraculous comeback, obviously playing their best baseball at the end of the season.
Well, you talk about...
But there they are, them and the Tigers, one series victory away from a rematch of 2006.
And you talk about, I remember nervous moments back then when Yadier Molina finally hit that home run in the deep of the night in New York. Was that like in the 11th or 12th inning, 13th inning? It was a long, nail-biting game.
After... Was it Jim Edmonds got robbed of a home run? No, it was Scott Rowland got robbed of a home run. Somebody, who was it for the Mets, went over the wall in that tie ball game and pulled that home run back from Rowland. And then it was Yadier Molina. Here's a hole across the middle for Cedric Washington. He's got a first down across the 15 up to the 16-yard line. So the Streaks move the chains with 5:18 to go on third down. And a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks, trailing 30-14. So Washington with a nice run. Well, our phones are just going crazy down here, aren't they? What did we ever do without text messaging? But thanks to everybody who's making us aware, if we weren't aware of it already, that the Cardinals have prevailed. 5 minutes to go in the game here at Flynn Stadium. Quincy leading the Silver Streaks 30-14. Two completely different games here tonight as a handoff goes up the middle for no gain. Maybe even a loss of a yard on first down. Silver Streaks were defensive dynamos in the first half here tonight, leading Quincy at the half, 14-0. But mistakes have come back to plague the Silver Streaks. Quincy has scored 30 unanswered. They were 3 yards away from another touchdown before they fumbled it away. Now the Silver Streaks facing 2nd and 11 from their own 15 with 4.5 minutes and counting in the ballgame.
Well, you know, Quincy never even put together any sort of a substantial drive tonight. I mean, the short field they worked on and some long return off of an interception.
Big run up the middle for John Mixon up across the 30 to the 35-yard line before he's finally stopped. Silver Streaks with another set of first downs. Gain of 20 by John Mixon. He's over 100 yards rushing tonight with 120 on the night. And up to the 35-yard line. 4:11 to play. Huge bonfire to our left down there, Jim. Not sure I'd be that interested in building a fire on a windy night as dry as it's been. But
yeah,
they've got it going down
the
there.
Things have gone today. I hope that's not a train derailment.
No, jeez, no kidding.
A few of those already.
Two of them in about 14 hours. Under 4 minutes to play in the game here at Flynn Stadium. Handoff up the middle. Another nice hole across left tackle this time. And still on his feet. Here goes Mixon rumbling across the 50 into Quincy territory, down to the 42-yard line. Another big run for John Mixon. So the Silver Streaks back into Quincy territory at the 42 with 3:50 to go in the game. Note from General Manager Roger Lundeen, we'll have Cardinals baseball Sunday afternoon at 2:30 for the pregame. So they were pretty quick to turn around the times there. So 2:30, Cardinals pregame on Sunday in the National League Championship Series against their Central Division rivals, the Milwaukee Brewers. Handoff, Cedric Washington spins off a tackle across center, down to the 35-yard line. Cedric gains 7 on first down.
Yeah, Brewers fans are probably rooting for the Cardinals, too, so that they would have home field advantage. Plus, I don't think the Brewers got along very well with the Phillies this year.
Won the season series with the Cardinals, though.
Yep, probably feel like they can handle St. Louis.
In fact, in that month-long winning streak that the Brewers had, the Cardinals were the only teams to beat them.
Yeah.
They did it twice. Those were the only two losses the Brewers had, so Milwaukee won 2 out of 3 in both of those series and continued on that big run that allowed them to win the National League Central. Mixon picks up a first down to the 30-yard line, picks up 5 more. John's racking up some rushing yards here now. He's up to 100 and 62.
Well, you know, last year going into the baseball postseason, a lot of us said, Phillies, Yankees, without a doubt. Well, it didn't happen. This year, well, they got upset last year. But this year, neither one of them gets out of the first round.
Amazing. And had about as easy a time as any team winning their division.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what ended up being their undoing. As many people have said, the Cardinals have been playing baseball since playoff baseball since the end of August. Phillies have just kind of been playing toward the end to get ready for the playoffs, and now they're out of it.
They did have, I guess, not a lot of pressure on them, but when they beat the Braves those times, they were playing with a lot of intensity. I think they were wanting to knock them out, which they did. But as it turned out, that was a bad move.
Yeah. Gain of 5 for Cedric Washington on first down, and now an official's timeout. Referee heading over to talk things over with Coach Tim Doherty with 2:13 to play in the game. John Mixon will have to come out, so that's what the stoppage of play is here for.
That's what they always say, that line, you better be careful. If the enemy of your enemy is your friend, not always the friendliest friend.
Well, no, the Cardinals were rooting for the Phillies to beat the Braves in that last game. Here's a handoff to Washington up the middle. What a run by Cedric. Got down low, kept those legs pumping, and looked like his body was at about a 45-degree angle as he just kept pushing into first down territory to the 19. Gain of 6 more. So again, 2:30 pregame on Sunday for Cardinals baseball at Milwaukee. First game of the National League Championship Series, a rematch of the 82 World Series in the postseason. First down for the 19. Silver Streaks got down in this territory on their last possession before interception return from the Galesburg 3, or from the Quincy 3, all the way down to the Galesburg 26-yard line. Matt Kitch with the handoff, gained 7. Nice to see Matt back in there after missing a couple weeks for an injury. Silver Streaks are down to the Quincy 12, trying to get one more into the end zone with under 90 seconds to play in the game.
Yeah, if you get it, you go for 2, and then you do the onside kick thing, and it's not impossible to get 2 touchdowns and 2 conversions. It's highly unlikely, but it's still within the realm of possibility.
Nice run by Kitch across the middle. He's got the touchdown. From 12 yards out, Streaks opened up a nice hole across the right side of that offensive line, and Kitch was through it quickly for his first touchdown run of the season. And it makes a winner of Bob Pelton of Watauga in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest with 69 seconds to go in the game.
You know, if they can make the 2-point conversion, that'll keep hope alive here for a little longer. If we don't get this, I don't think there's any 10-point touchdown play we can come up with if we get an onside kick.
Yeah, Streaks down 10, 30-20. 2-point conversion would make it 30-22, and as Jim said, with an onside kick, still a chance for another touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie the game. Streaks got a 2-point conversion earlier on a Trevon Diggins run out of the I formation. Handoff goes to the right side, and stick with what works. Matt Kitch across right tackle scores the 2-point conversion, and it's 30-22 with 1:09 to go in the game, and an onside kick coming. Hope is alive for the Silver Streaks. The drive started at their own 3-yard line with 6:10 to go. They march at 97 yards in 5 minutes and 1 second. And they have 69 seconds to try to recover an onside kick and try to march it downfield again. Now, we've seen the Streaks try some onside kicks several times this season. 2 that I can think of right off the bat, and neither time did the ball go 10 yards. So
yeah,
they've got to get that to work.
Criteria
now.
Number one. It's kind of like in golf, they say 100% of the putts that don't get to the hole don't go in.
Right.
So,
unless you're Yogi Berra, he says 90% of the putts that fall short don't go in.
Well, here you got it. This is the field turf thing too, because this from what we're told and what we've seen some, it tends to be a little spongier, a little more bouncy.
Kick it end over end, try to get that high bounce off the turf. That's what I'd like to see. Kick it high up in the air or kick it so it bounces high up into the air off that spin and make it anybody's game. Drew Carlson with the ball teed up at the 20. 30-22, Quincy by 8 with 69 seconds to go in the game. Onside kick coming. Hands team for Quincy. The ball goes to the right side, and again, not going 10 yards yet, and Quincy falls on it short of the 50-yard line. Silver Streaks had to let it get to the 50, so they couldn't touch it until then, and Quincy just dives on it at the Galesburg 48 before it even goes those 10 yards. And that's how it works. They can touch it, but the kicking team cannot until it goes 10 yards.
Yeah, we've seen some cases where they'll just try and kick it real hard off one of the guys up front. But that's more an element of surprise if they're not expecting it. I've seen that work a lot. Not so much on the traditional kick where the other team's got their good hands people up front or looking for an onside kick. Sometimes those line drives are when they when the blockers just start to turn his back and run the other way.
So once again, Quincy starts a drive in Galesburg territory, as they have done nearly the entire second half, and they actually run a play. Rather than take a knee leading by eight, they try to run a play up the middle, and the Streaks make the defensive stop and have a timeout or two they can call if they really want to, but they need three timeouts in order to be able to successfully make that strategy work, and now here is a timeout.
After we let 8 or 9 seconds run off the clock?
Yeah, 15 seconds in total from the time of the snap down to 53 seconds. So it goes as no gain. Second and 10 from the Galesburg 48.
Well, there's your reason for Quincy not taking a knee, I guess, if they knew we had the three timeouts. They figured they might have to get another first down to avoid having to give the ball up.
Silver Streak sophomores lost by a final of 35-20. At last check, the rest of the Western Big Six games started off competitively, but did not look to be ending that way. Alleman fell behind early to Rock Island, and last check they were putting that game in control. Moline was battling United Township early on and then started to pull away in that game. So we'll check here, see what we can find out in those games. Second and 10 for Quincy from the Galesburg 48, 53 seconds to go. Hand off to the outside, trying to get to the outside. Streaks in convergence at the 50-yard line, and they stop Jordan McGriff back inside Quincy territory at the 49-yard line, and another quick timeout by the Silver Streaks with 41 seconds to go. The handoff to McGriff, who ran backwards, trying to get to the outside, and all the Silver Streaks had to do was just run upfield and surround him, and it goes as a loss of two back to the 50. Third and 12 upcoming. Clock stopped with 41 seconds to go as the Streaks burn another timeout, and strategically so.
Well, I'm glad this isn't like basketball season is going to be when we come down here for a basketball game on a Friday night. Then we have to turn around on Saturday and drive up to Blue Island Eisenhower in Chicago to play the next day.
It'll be a little colder in February than it is tonight.
Really happy that's not on the football agenda for today.
See, it's a final. Alleman does beat Rock Island 34-13. And, wow, still in the third quarter. Moline leading UT 31-14. Must be very late in the third.
Yeah, I can't imagine them going this long because I think they got started earlier than we did.
Rolling out to the near side, the quarterback Zanger steps inside the 50, taken down at the 49, and 33 seconds to go. He stayed in bounds, and the clock rolling. Streaks do not have one more timeout to call, so Zanger gains a yard. It's 4th and 11, and the clock rolling with 20 seconds to go. And are they going to have to run a play? It looks like Quincy pumping their fists. Down to four. They will not have to punt the ball away. That's the ball game. Quincy wins it 30-22. A dominant first half by the Silver Streaks. A dominant second half by the Blue Devils. And they win it, sending Galesburg to their sixth consecutive loss. And the Blue Devils, even their Western Big Six conference record at 2-2, and get above the 500 mark at 4-3, still with a chance to make the playoffs. Our postgame show coming up from Plin Stadium at Quincy High School after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL has been brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Craddy Insurance Agency, your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies, building a bond between you and your pet. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight, clear skies, an overnight low of 58. Tomorrow, sunny skies and a high reaching around 85. And tomorrow night, clear skies with an overnight low around 58. For your Sunday, sunny skies and a high around 82. And Sunday night, clear skies with an overnight low around 55. Currently 66 degrees in downtown Galesburg at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
At Twin State, Silver Streaks led at the half 14-0 over the Quincy Blue Devils, who then came out in the third quarter and pasted the Silver Streaks for three offensive touchdowns and a safety. They tacked on another touchdown 9 seconds into the fourth quarter. Galesburg gets a late touchdown with just over a minute to go. And the Streaks fall tonight by a final of 30-22. They're now 1-6 on the season, 0-4 in the Western Big Six Conference. Quincy Blue Devils, meanwhile, improved to 4-3 overall and 2-2 in Western Big Six Conference play. We'll get a word from Streaks head coach Tim Doherty coming up here momentarily. Once again, Cardinals win tonight. They clinch the National League Division Series, shutting out the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0. Great pitching matchup between Chris Carpenter and Roy Halladay lives up to the billing. Carpenter with a three-hit shutout, and the Cardinals are on to the National League Championship Series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Our pregame here on WGIL Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Fighting Illini football tomorrow here on WGIL at Indiana with a 1:30 start there. Fighting Illini trying to become bowl eligible as they have started off 5-0 on the season. It is their first road game of the year. Head coach Tim Doherty making his way over to Jim Lee. So let's find out what the coach has to say about this disappointing
loss. Okay, down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty. And Tim, obviously a great first half. He had no penalties, no turnovers, but wheels kind of fell off in that third quarter. And the home crowd got into it, made for a tough night.
Well, it's obvious we got to play for 48 minutes. Until I see the film, there's a quick momentum change in there. I don't know how much it's them or us, but... I think we took some big steps forward tonight. Obviously, Quincy's a good football team. But like I just told my guys, we're starting to believe, but, you got to play it for 48. And, again, credit to Quincy. They got some explosive guys.
How were you able to bottle them up so much in the first half? You really bottled them up outside of a couple of fullback runs.
I thought we did it in the second half. It's just their skilled kids got outside, and, they made some plays. They got some good skill guys. I don't want to be in a track meet with them, and that's what they turned it into. So, I'll have to take a look at it and see. But, you know, again, hats off to Quincy.
Well, you know, their kicking game made a big difference, too, when their kicker couldn't knock it back to the end zone. We have to start on the 20. It's a tough call for you because you're up 14-0 and 14-7. You don't want to get too crazy with the play calls. You're a little conservative, but then you try and throw that pass, and it gets picked off. And, you know, it's just tough because you need to move the ball, and yet I'm sure you don't want to take high-risk plays.
You asked the question, and you answered it all in the same. We got 14 points on the board the same way we did in the first half. The pass was there; it was a little underthrown, but you know, the third quarter wasn't one player, one guy. You know, it just did. The game in that 4 minutes stretch there got away from us. So,
all right, well, Coach, like you said, you made some strides tonight. We'll load it up and try again at home next week.
You bet.
Coach Tim Doherty of the Silver Streaks is always kind enough to join us here in the postgame. Silver Streaks, a disappointing 30-22 loss after leading 14-0 at the half. Take a break here on the postgame show. When we come back, a look at the Streaks' final statistics along with Quincy's numbers still to come on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm sure you've noticed how often irritability accompanies neck pain, how a pain in the neck actually makes you become a pain in the neck to those around you. Well, don't let it get to you. The next time you experience neck pain, don't wait until you fly off the handle to do something about it. Call Dr. Jeffrey Hayden at 344-4988 before the grouch in you comes out. As a doctor of chiropractic, Dr. Hayden can perform a simple, painless adjustment on your spine that can have you feeling better in no time. Chances are you have allowed neck pain to ruin your pleasant disposition in the past. In the future, call Dr. Jeffrey Hayden at the first sign of irritability and get your good nature back naturally. Avoid being a pain in the neck by bringing your pain in the neck to Dr. Jeffrey Hayden at 1174 North Seminary Street on the corner of Seminary and Fremont in Galesburg. For a spinal screening to determine if chiropractic can help you, call the Hayden Chiropractic Center today. Remember, there's no substitute for feeling the absolute best.
Due to federal regulations, this offer does not apply to Medicare, Medicaid, or federal insurance programs.
He was a corn farmer in America's heartland, always waiting for his bumper crop to come in. But for David Howell, the answer was just a whisper away.
If you plant it, they won't come.
Who said that? Plant what?
AgriSure Vibterra.
In a town full of skeptics.
You're crazy planting all that corn over top of a perfectly good softball field.
One man's leap of faith.
What about earworms? Black cutworms? Have you thought of that?
He said they wouldn't come.
Who? The voice?
Would become the stuff of legend.
Above ground, below ground, I'm telling you, I haven't seen a single pest out there all season.
Syngenta Films presents an AgriSure Vipterra production.
14.3 more bushels per acre?
Under significant corn earworm pressure.
Experience the mystery, the magic, and the power to control more corn insects than any other trait stack with AgriSure Vipterra 3111 from Syngenta. Contact your Golden Harvest dealer and tell them you're ready to take control.
We rode through the field on a cow train. Bounced the wound, then the jump out.
Got lost in the corn maze.
Took some really cute pictures on the hay rack ride.
Having fun shooting the corn.
Mine went the farthest.
Did not. Did too.
Well, looks like we did everything.
No.
We didn't pick pumpkins yet.
Right.
Whoa, it's huge.
Now that's a pumpkin.
I'm gonna get the wagon.
How are we ever going to carry that big old pumpkin all the way to the car?
Look, there's Bruce a lantern on his way to load it up and take it to the car. Thank goodness.
We have fields full of pumpkins, but these you gotta see. They're huge, some weighing in at half a ton. This is Bruce Lantern here inviting you to bring the family and pick your own giant pumpkins during the Giant Pumpkin Festival going on at Country Corner this weekend. Enjoy live music under Bruce's big top tent, have a blast in the Fall Fun Park, and weave your way through the corn maze. Country Corner, rain or shine, farm fresh fun, open daily just north of Alpha on Route 150. Visit country-corner.com.
Your news talk and sports station, WGIL.
Statistically, the Silver Streaks win the game. Scoreboard shows otherwise, though. Silver Streaks racked up 259 yards on the ground on 48 carries, led by John Mixon with 162 yards rushing tonight. Cedric Washington at 26 yards. Trevon Diggins, 45 on the ground with a touchdown. Matt Kitch late in the game and a touchdown. And Will Anderson had 4 carries for 4 yards. 259 yards total offense on the ground for the Silver Streaks. Will Anderson also had one pass completion to Trevon Diggins for a 29-yard touchdown. But he also threw two interceptions, one for four tonight with those 29 yards. Quincy Blue Devils, meanwhile, just 154 yards on the ground, 18 fewer plays on the ground, and 105 yards less than the Silver Streaks in rushing. But Quincy started one scoring drive from the Galesburg one. They started three other scoring drives inside Galesburg territory. So they didn't need a lot of yards rushing in order to find the end zone. Malik Robbins, 10 carries, 60 yards, and two touchdowns tonight. Jordan McGriff, 9 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Mike Davis, 11 carries, 31 yards, and a touchdown. Jordan Zanger threw two pass completions in four attempts, and a 10-yard pass play to Jared Zanger, and a 1-yard completion to Malik Robbins. So 2 for 4 for 11 yards. So the Silver Streaks gain more offense than the Quincy Blue Devils, but it's Quincy who wins it tonight, 30-22, thanks largely to some key Galesburg miscues in the second half. They snapped a punt over the punter's head, out the back of the end zone for a safety, an interception return to the 1-yard line. Some other key Galesburg miscues in the third quarter allowed Quincy to come back from a 14-0 deficit, take a 23-0 lead at the end of three, and 9 seconds into the fourth quarter, their final touchdown. Galesburg tacked one on late, but 30-22, the final. Take a final timeout here on the postgame show. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game is next on WGIL, WGIL.com.
Right now, it's the UPS Store 3 for All. Just pick three featured products and you'll save 30%. Pick from brochures, calendars, stationery, posters, door hangers, flyers, postcards, and more. And you'll save 30%. The UPS Store 3 for All. Going on now. Offer ends 10-10-11 at participating locations. The UPS Store locations are independently owned and operated. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. Restrictions apply. For a complete list of products eligible for 30% discount and other details, visit facebook.com/theUPSStore.
WGIL proudly supports the Galesburg community.
Hi, it's Bob O'Connor for WGIL. The Knox Galesburg Symphony's first Music Mornings program of its 60th anniversary season. It's Saturday, the 22nd, 10 a.m. at the library. A free concert preview for kids from preschool through fifth grade. For more information, check the calendar, WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in the Galesburg community. Glenn Beck, weekday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Ready to wrap things up here at Flynn Stadium in Quincy, where the Silver Streaks encounter a disappointing 30-22 loss at the hands of the Quincy Blue Devils. Galesburg played very well in the first half, and a lot to be excited about. Things were looking pretty good, but Quincy came back barnstorming through the second half and defeat the Silver Streaks 30-22. Our final order of business, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Jim Lee. And the Crunch Time Player of the Game, I think, was in Philadelphia tonight, not here in Quincy. But we'll stick with the Silver Streak anyway.
Yeah, I think pretty crunch time performance by Mr. Carpenter tonight for 9 full innings. And things at times. Defensively, certainly in the first half, good team defense. And John Mixon ran the ball well down near the goal line a couple of times. And all in all, though, really, I think we'll go with late in the game. The Silver Streaks were down and seemed like it was pretty well over before we took advantage of a penalty, put together a drive, a long run or two. Next thing you know, Matt Kitch is bowling his way to one gain and then another into the end zone and a conversion. And good to see him back getting a little running time at fullback.
Sure is,
and so,
yep.
So we're going to go with Matt Kitch tonight for our day's crunch time player.
Scott Galesburg within one possession there with a minute to go in the game and with an onside kick. If the Streaks had recovered, it would have given a chance possibly to tie the game. But the onside kick did not work, and Quincy ends up running out the final 69 seconds of the game. So, once again, tomorrow, Fighting Illini football at Indiana. Illinois trying to become bowl eligible in their first road game of the year. They try to go 6-0. We'll have it here on WGIL at 1:30 tomorrow. Cardinals pregame in the National League Championship Series against the Milwaukee Brewers, 2:30 for pregame on Sunday afternoon. And then Bears football in a Monday night contest against the Detroit Lions on 92.7 FM, The Laser. So other than that, really not much coming on here on your local radio stations in the next few days.
Well, thanks for the Cardinals for holding our interest for yet another week, and we hope for a couple of weeks.
Can't wait to see the highlights of that one.
Yes, sir.
30-22, Quincy wins it tonight. Also defeats the Galesburg sophomores, who fall to 2-5 on the year. For Nicole Olin at our downtown studios, for Jim Lee here at Flynn Stadium, I'm Brad Binowitz. See you next week at home against the Moline Maroons for Senior Night at Van Dyke Field. Good night from Flynn Stadium.